following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
What's poppin'? It's the Deals in the D.com studios for the Thursday show. Trudy in the house.
Hey.
Mark is here.
Hey.
Brandon.
Hey.
Joey.
Hey.
And we are live on Facebook. I see people already spouting off, I hate you.
What?
Gosh. Josh Teebs.
Oh, Teebs. I think he's talking about people that beat him to the punch.
Oh, right.
He likes being first.
And it's a drop, too.
There's a lot of pride.
I hate
That's
you.
True. Oh, do we still have those super nanny drops of those little kids saying,
I know why I hate you.
I know I hate you because I hate you.
I don't think we do. I'll have to find those.
Oh, those are good. Facebook brought to you by Cinco de Mayo. Not by Cinco de Mayo, by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. But Cinco de Mayo is so close, it might as well be, because they're celebrating Cinco de Mayo Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Woo!
This is not just never to bring in more business either. This is because they love Cinco de Mayo at Mesa. It's a Mexican restaurant. The food is great. They have 150 tequilas, some great specialty drinks, 35-foot TV. You catch the Derby on Saturday.
Oh, wait a minute. That's happening?
Yes.
Wow.
Today,
all 2 minutes
hey,
of it.
Hey, that's right.
Some
okay.
people are saying you might not have been listening to the podcast yesterday because Tom Mazzaway was very excited about that.
That he sounds just like the announcer, the track announcer.
Oh, that's right.
Listen
yeah.
to that.
Ah. No,
I just listened to the whole show.
I was going to say, that's weird that you just listened to the end of the show or the front of the show.
I like to try to be like, you know, do what other people don't do and listen to the end of the show.
Wow, how cool of you. By the way, great suggestion for a podcast name for Tom Mazzaway, and a number of people saying they want Tom and Righteous Rick, which I have no problem with as long as it's not done here. It's done somewhere else. We will link to it, but I can't take it. I can't. Here's the name.
Okay.
Tom and his House of Lies.
I love it.
He, by the way,
that's a great name.
That show would be all over the map.
I think it might be big. I don't know. I can't imagine a better hate listen. Although Dennis Rodman today, I tried his podcast.
Oh, how was it?
It was terrible.
It was so bad.
I'm shocked.
It's so horrible. It's called Dennis Rodman on the Rebound. And I'm looking at the guests. It's just first names like Leslie and Bob, you know, Tina and Jerry. I'm like, who are these guests? And what he does is he takes people who have a conflict and he tries to resolve it or go up for the rebound.
What? Donald and Kim.
Go up for the rebound.
What is the rebound institute?
Trudy, it doesn't even make sense. It's just on the rebound because he's a great rebounder. So they're implying there's something rebound related.
That makes no sense.
I know. It's so dumb. I can't understand anything he's saying. It takes him 40 seconds to say something that could be said in 10. It's just horrible.
We got a lot of competition now. Zuckerberg's got a new one, too.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
David Lee Roth has a new one.
David Lee Roth.
Oh, David Lee Roth is so bad.
I know.
It's so bad.
He relaunched his.
He relaunched.
It's horrible.
I saw a headline the other day where he talked about it was something that drew me in. And when I got in there, it was David Lee Roth's inside his labyrinth mind where he takes everything down a rabbit hole and then comes back and then takes it down another one. I just gave up.
It's so grim. He does a lot of character voices.
Cool.
It's really...
Yeah!
I don't know. It was awful.
I wonder if he knew about it, if he would use drops on his own show.
If his own show.
No, because he wouldn't listen to the drops. He'd talk over them. He doesn't listen. That's why he's better off doing the show by himself with his own characters, because he doesn't listen.
Oh, true.
Worst. So there's a little bit of... did I finish the Mesa commercial?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't mention the 10% off your meal on the spot. Mentioned Drew and Mike. And Cinco de Mayo, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I guess. 106.7 WLLZ. I thought their schedule had ended.
What?
I thought they were on for April.
Has anybody notified traffic?
Maybe not. All these departments in this network have to start working better together. 106.7 WLLZ. The new generation of classic rock featuring our show on Saturday and Sunday. Since this is this may be a freebie, I'm going to plug our show. I wonder how it's doing. I got to ask Tony Trovato over there if there's any early returns on the
show. Doing really well, I think.
It seems to get a lot of attention.
Kind of buzz.
Yeah, I hope so.
Sure. Trudy got snubbed by Jay Towers in the building.
Oh, boy.
What? Snubbed?
It's always awkward somehow.
Is he angry about the fact that we minimized?
I'm starting something.
We have minimized him putting Bryan Adams and Billy Idol on the same stage together for the first time, which there was no demand for. None. No one ever asked for.
What?
They are together.
Except for Billy Idol and Bryan Adams. Is it Bryan Adams? Who is it? I already forgot who's on Jay's show.
I don't think there's any demand for those two on the same stage. In fact, it's a little bit of an odd bill, isn't it?
It would be two different demographics, vastly different fans.
I think Jay's the only one that wanted to do this.
Show.
I don't think he did it either. Do you think Jay really made phone calls that we've got to get Billy Idol and Bryan Adams on the same stage?
Yeah. No, I think he did.
Yeah. Makes things happen.
That's possible. He does a radio show while he's doing a TV show.
Yeah.
So amazing. I guess anything's possible.
Tireless multitasker. I rounded the corner there looking at my phone. I almost knocked him on his ass. And it's always awkward. It's kind of weird because I always surprise him in some way or something, not meaning to. So
was there an incident?
It was no incident. He was hey, Trudy, how are you? And kind of veered away. He sort of.
I think he was fearing that something would take place. You would tell us, and he would possibly be
a
victim.
Well, then he gets a second day of more than 100 retweets, so
that's
all good for him.
I think we do. I think we add to Jay's career.
Yeah.
Don't subtract from it. I like to think that. Anyway, Trudy's on midday, Doug Putt on the afternoon, Bill McAllister in the morning, Casey at night. They don't even mention Casey in the copy. I don't know. I try to right all these wrongs. It's not easy.
Hey, we should make him a bumper.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't listen to the Doc of Rock on WLLZ.
What's up, Doc?
It's rock and roll malpractice, and you're getting sued. You. Four Detroiters, five Detroiters. 106.7 Detroit's Wheels.
Are they using those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Brandon just put on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Just happened to be at that time.
Speaking of wrongs being righted, we're getting no credit for Joe Theismann giving Haskins permission to wear his number 7. Nobody's referencing our conversation with Joe where we really put him to the test and we really made him give it some thought.
Huh. How about the fact that I said no on his behalf? He's trying to take the weight off of Joe the Iz Man.
No mention of it whatsoever. We were the first to talk to him, the first to call. He said it. Usually we're years late to the party. We were the first at the party on that story.
Back in 82,
by the way,
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Is that him? Mark's hat?
Yes.
Anybody called any attention to Mark's hat?
Great hat. It's a gift.
It's
Funny. I forget I have
rhinestones spelling out sexy on the front
in
of the
denim.
Hat. Oh,
it's pretty sweet. Denim hat.
Has it gotten a camera shot yet on Facebook?
Oh,
Live?
Lots. Yeah.
Plenty.
Okay.
I forgot I had it on. I ran out to my car before we started, and your neighbor's out there. I'm like, "How's it going?"
Don't wear that outfit again.
Sexy and classy.
They must be so confused as to what goes on here.
Some of them, I think, are very confused. Some seem to know what's going on and have known for some time. But
it was a gift from ML Elric in the Soul of Detroit. Yeah.
Okay.
A new episode coming
up
soon.
We need better network communication on that, too, because the show was supposed to start at 1. I knew it was going to bump into our prep time, started around, I heard noon originally. I thought there's barely time to get that in, and then it started late, because if it's ML, it's going to be late.
I know.
Good luck with the podcast.
I love the fact that I found someone who is late to everything just like me.
He's later, possibly.
Oh, although, way later.
If it was supposed to be 12:30, then he wasn't as late as I thought.
He's still late.
Well,
but
you're the network executive.
I know.
You need to crack the whip.
I did, Trudy. I sent texts.
Like Ted Williams, crack the whip.
Yeah, there's maybe we'll have to have that bit. We'll have to have that bit with the network. Okay, I sent him at 12:40. I sent him, what time is the noon show?
Ooh.
And then I said, Mark said, you're going at noon today. And I said, it's going to be tight. Now it's looking very tight. Your cameraman is here from Fox 2. And then
John,
I said, there's Hall Financial copy for you.
Wow.
And then I got no response. He walked in the door right after I sent him, which I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. He hasn't seen him yet. We'll see him later when I don't have to see him. And he responded, sorry about the late start. We'd settled on 12:30. I'll contact Mike.
Ha.
12:30.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's too late. He needs to settle.
He was on. We're done.
Settle
in time.
On a regular time. It would help.
We were done in time.
Brandon was waiting upstairs.
Are you okay, Brandon?
Brandon's time is not important.
Are you okay?
I guess it's okay.
What? Are you all right?
Brandon,
I'm okay.
I patted himself down.
I made myself useful.
Mark, I think you're kind of acting Maz-like by taking the authority to start the show as late as you did.
What?
You're
taking
on network decision making.
Ooh, better watch out.
I was here. I was ready to go. I don't control talent.
Apparently, Gary's going to be further into the copy than he was since he's been promoted to sales manager by Maz. I got that note this morning. There's a lot of hullabaloo going on at Zod.
Oh, and the other Gary, that was fun today. Too.
Oh, Gary Graff, he was going to come on today to talk about Russ Gibb dying, which is huge news.
Yeah.
Russ Gibb, Uncle Russ, what a I'm really fascinating guy. And we talked to him, I think, a couple times. He started the Paul is Dead thing about Paul McCartney.
He was on Keener at that point.
Mm-hmm. Was he on Keener?
Who's that dude?
I think that's what I was reading today, that he was on Keener, the Paul is Dead thing. By the way, has Paul now posted that Russ is dead?
In reverse?
Great question.
Good moment for that.
Can someone search on that?
Too soon, though.
It was a cool thing because people went back to the albums, and at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, I buried Paul. And then there was, there were all the signs. The Zombian death sign was over Paul's head on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's. It wasn't Zombian.
He didn't have his shoes on Abbey Road.
That's right.
That sure is a mystery.
What does that mean, by the way? He didn't have shoes on. He was an undertaker? Did they say he was an undertaker?
He was a corpse or something. They take people's shoes off.
You ain't gay.
I forget.
They take people's shoes off when they bury him? I didn't know that. There was the car.
Sorry, you died.
On the Abbey Road cover, the little Volkswagen Bug with the 28 if license plate, which means that he would be 28 if he were alive.
Okay.
Here it is. This is one of the biggest clues. It's huge.
Whoa.
Did you hear it?
Yeah,
heard
I buried it. Paul.
Yeah, buried Paul.
It's this vast right-wing conspiracy.
I buried Paul with
her. No time. Crank it up.
McCartney.
John burying Paul. John Lennon burying Paul.
Wow. The Grandy Ballroom was possibly one of his most amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ubiquitous feat.
That was where rock and roll got its legs in Detroit. The Grandy Ballroom. Led Zeppelin played there.
Cream.
Cream had multiple dates there.
Yeah.
The list of people who played the Grandy Ballroom is... Jimi Hendrix played the Grandy Ballroom. Everyone played there.
And everyone in this area who's of a certain age has so many good memories of going to the Grandy Ballroom. The first time for the Who on tour...
Probably
at the Grandy Ballroom.
Probably some of the best shows all those people ever did because they were young and they were hungry and they were on the way up and they were fantastic. And then, I didn't know this until I read about the Goose Lake Festival.
Oh,
yeah.
That huge thing. Russ Gibb promoted that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that was after Woodstock in 1970. This actually was a real estate guy in Southfield, said, I'm going to build a perfect festival. It was out in the west side of the state, kind of in the middle of nowhere. I can't remember the exact location.
Near Jackson?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I was thinking it was further west,
but you're
probably right. Wherever Goose Lake is. And it was a very rural area. He built a rotating stage.
Wow.
And they had, cement grounds. They had plenty of bathrooms. It was very well planned. And this festival had... Iggy Pop, Rod Stewart and Faces were there, John Sebastian, Bob Seger. There were a lot. It was a big festival, and it drew, I want to say, like 200,000 people. But the county was so upset about all the drugs. But it sounded like it was a beautifully run festival. And this revolving stage and all the facilities, the artists themselves said, wow, that was a really good event. But it was shut down after one event. But it lives in infamy. There's a lot of funny audio, too, of the people that lived around there complaining about the... Someone sent me a, I think it was a DVD. It was really funny, including, there's some audio from that online, I think. I think I saw John Sebastian recently singing Darling Be Home Soon, maybe it was, at that.
Yeah, Jethro Tull headlined it.
Oh, Jethro Tull. Yeah, Tull was huge.
No way.
Aqualung was huge, man.
Chicago.
Aqualung was a monster. And Barry Barlow was Jethro Tull's drummer, later Mr. Methane's manager, and we became friends with Barry when he brought Mr. Methane over.
Oh, my God.
Barry's a great guy. I saw him in London. Ooh!
Yeah, you went to his house, right?
I did. I went to his house.
Boy, spread out.
It was a blast.
What'd you guys do at his house?
We hung out and...
Rocked out.
We took Barry's boat to Henley-on-Thames, where George Harrison lived.
Oh, my God.
How cool is that? Wow. We walked by George's house.
Holy...
We did.
Down his nose.
Does anyone play Aqualung anymore? It's a great album.
Maybe.
No? You're not a fan of Tull?
Tull!
I love Tull. I've seen them.
Tull.
I've seen Tull, too. Ian Anderson, he's a one in a million.
And he's hilarious, too. And his son-in-law is, what's his name, from The Walking Dead.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this connection.
Who, the main star?
Yeah.
Rick Grimes?
It's Rick Grimes, yeah.
Is that right?
The actor is married to,
But he shares no interlinked DNA.
Jethro's daughter.
Son-in-law.
No, but...
He produced new DNA with Jethro, with Ian's daughter.
He did, but he talked about it.
I love this part! I love the EQ on this! Taking time, the only way. I used to really like this album.
Yeah!
Tull!
Other artists at Goose Lake, Bob Seger, Ram, Chicago, Joe Cocker, Alice Cooper.
Joe Cocker was there?
Stooges.
Nice.
Wow.
Flying Burrito Brothers.
Whoa, with, what's his name? Graham?
Nash?
No. Graham, the guy whose body was burned at the Joshua Tree.
What?
He's in the Birds. Oh, Graham, he worked with the Stones. Oh, my God.
Okay. Fletcher?
No.
Parsons?
Parsons. Graham Parsons.
Is it really?
Parsons, yes. Oh, cool. He gave the Stones the country feel on Sweet Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like an early country rocker.
Wow.
Is he related to Alan?
I don't know.
I'm seriously wondering.
Alan Parsons, by the way, was on the roof when the Beatles had their rooftop concert. He was. He was formulating his project on the roof.
What's he doing up there?
How cool is that, though? I mean, there's like 40 people up there.
I mean, the interconnectivity of all of this, and it goes back to Russ Gibb.
I know. It took so much work to learn all this connectivity, but it's in my head somewhere. And Russ Gibb, tip of the cap to Russ Gibb, 87 years old. You know what? He also was a beloved teacher in Dearborn. Yeah. He taught for decades.
Really?
And
raised money for the school, too, for Dearborn High.
He sounds like a really cool guy, and he was about 35 when the counterculture hit in 67, 66. So, you know, he kind of missed it because he's too old, really, to be. I mean, you'd think that was really 17 to 22-year-olds, you know, who were experimenting with drugs and protesting Vietnam. But here's this older guy who's a promoter, and he says, okay, I get this, and I'm going to get the Grandy Ballroom and put on these great shows and tell me who the great bands are. And he was a rock dog, too.
Yeah.
Right, can I ask a question about Graham Parsons?
Yeah.
His death. I'm just reading about his death right here.
Died in a hotel room at Joshua Tree of an overdose.
Yeah, but do you know what happened?
He's got AIDS.
After he started overdosing?
They tried to revive him.
With an ice cube suppository?
Yes, they did. Courtney Love used an ice suppository on Kurt Cobain also.
Is that just sticking an ice cube in
your butthole?
Is there any science behind that?
Yes, there is. I think it has worked, I believe.
Well, I would wake up.
Crushed ice or cubed ice?
What are you putting in my ass? So it's cubed, Trudy. It's not even the oval shape.
Oh, my God.
Imagine being in your own head, passed out, going, wait, feels like someone's putting something in my ass.
Get your freaking finger out of my asshole, buddy.
It's fucking ice.
There's a lot of nerves.
Jesus Christ. What's going on?
You know, you come to, you're glad you're alive, and then you realize someone just stuck an ice cube
in your butt,
in your anus.
No, it's quite a way to come around.
I like the idea too that it's all they can find is crushed ice, Judy, and someone's just shoving it in there like the fist vest with their palm.
I'd love to be there when it happened, and then when the person wakes up, go, no, nobody put ice in your ass. Are you out of your mind? What the fuck are you talking about?
You'd be all melted by then.
All right, sir, I just need to check inside your asshole.
Oh, you might have had some diarrhea or something, but no way. Oh, my God, what are you talking about?
They gave him an ice cube suppository, then a cold shower, and then instead of moving him around the room, she put him to bed and went out to buy coffee in hopes to reviving him.
Yeah,
I saw his butthole.
Huh.
Oh, boy.
It's not a perfect effort. They did call for an ambulance eventually. I saw it on Reels, has that autopsy show, and it was pretty interesting, I have to say. I just hate the part where the guy in the scrubs is, Grandma drank quite a bit. I think that may have contributed. I'm looking into that, too.
What?
No, he overdosed on heroin. Shut the fuck up. Stop acting like you're gonna multiply how many years he smoked cigarettes with how many joints he smoked. Plus the heroin he took the light. No, he fucking overdosed. Florence Ballard was a good one, too. The Supreme.
Did they put ice up her butt?
No, they didn't. She had legitimate problems, but she was the Supreme that was kicked out.
Yeah.
And she was a great singer. And when she died, she was on welfare. And of course, that was the headline in the Detroit News. Mm. You know, why is this woman who was on 8 number one songs on welfare? How is that possible? But again, it's Motown.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people ended up that way somehow.
I just saw on Amazon you can buy an ice cube tray in the shape of suppositories.
Really?
He says wrecked them, damn near killed them.
Really didn't mean to get completely off on Grant Parsons and the ice in his butthole, but it is certainly significant. I should have brought it up immediately. When his name came up.
I didn't know about it. It's got a couple reviews. 4.3 reviews for the ice cube tray.
Good ones? Like 5-star?
Any 1-stars?
Yeah,
you want to hear one? Yeah, let's hear 1-star.
This product is a joke. Anything you make in it just breaks up upon taking it out. Oh, so they don't see it as a joke because it's suppositories. It's just that it doesn't work.
Oh, he doesn't like that it's in pieces.
Yeah.
Their heart was in the right place. They wanted to save someone from an overdose, but the ice breaks up.
Yeah, that's pretty much the big complaint. It's just that they just break up pretty easily.
Should we call the company? And point, is there an 800 number?
It doesn't look like
it. Why couldn't you just use a popsicle?
Yeah, great point.
Wow, Trudy.
Man.
Well, maybe because then they would be accused of enjoying it too much. And
there'd be too much of it.
They'd wish they were dead because of all the suggestions and jokes.
Sticks will cause splinters.
Yeah, they wake up hard.
No, they use the popsicle.
Sugar, you know, that would help, though, right?
And the person who was doing it would be accused of getting off, too.
It's too whimsical.
Yeah. The woman who strapped it on would face terrible accusations.
Oh, this is wild. All right.
See if there's an 800 number, because I'd love to. I think we should talk to them about the reviews. I don't know. Have they looked into that? Be interesting to find out. Yeah. There's more. There's much more. There's Pauly Shore on the show today.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Should have mentioned that up front. There's Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Cool.
Yeah. He is going to be with Big Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say his name.
Hey, it's his name.
And Bobby, the guys from The Sopranos, and Michael, who's Christopher, of course, at Andy.
Christopher Moltisanti?
Yep.
Moltisanti.
He was great.
At Andy Amos.
He's also Spider from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
He's also in Detroit 187.
He was in Dannemora, too.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God, he was.
Was he the governor?
Governor Cuomo.
Yeah.
He's great.
And he's gonna be in the Bone Collector series, but I think they're just rapping Sopranos when they're at Andiamo. So
it's 20 years of the
Friday.
Sopranos, and these things I think people really enjoy. If you're a huge Sopranos fan, they go to Andiamo's, and I think they talk about the show, and I believe they take questions. And you know, it sounds like they for those who are really deep into it, because they've done them before, and I think they've done really well.
Yeah.
And I know we got to talk to him once. God, he's just fantastic on that show.
Yeah, he's pretty much fantastic in everything he does.
He is.
It's really,
I agree. Detroit 187, he was good.
He was in The Basketball Diaries, too. He was the best friend that died.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I got to go back and watch. That's a great thing. I mean, I love Jim Carroll, of course. People who die. The yeah. Basketball Diaries is where he started.
Oh, that's right.
And I was reading about, oh boy, this, I don't know why I keep reading about death. Maybe it's, I've always been into true crime, but it seems like lately, I just keep looking up. What happened to Jim Carroll? Mm-hmm. Oh, I knew he died. He died in 2009. What happened? And then he started digging. It's like, oh boy. He was, he looked like 80 when he died.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know he did a lot of heroin when he was young, but he kind of cleaned up and the cool album cover with his arm around his parents. I think it's called, yeah. Is it called Catholic Guilt or something? Or Catholic Catholic Boy.
Right.
And People Who Died is such a great song. I was watching online. He did it with Lou Reed. Pretty cool.
Really?
Lou's singing back up. Yeah. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. I dare say it might be one of my favorite songs. Whoa. 14 years old, he looked at 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Died. Possibly this is the most tangential show ever.
And Maz isn't even here.
We have a Mike Clark clip today, too.
Ah, okay. Cool.
It's just, awesome. It's so funny. You mentioned that, Mark did, that Mike thought Rosalind Carter was hot. It was just an offhand comment, and immediately it became a, oh, Rosalind Carter was hot. I quite remember that. And you guys being younger didn't know at all. So everyone starts looking for Rosalind Carter pictures, looking hot. And
she's 90.
Yeah, and
not as flattering.
His memory seemed a little skewed. And he was quite disappointed. Shocked. In the end. He's quite disappointed with himself.
Wasn't she at the funeral for H.W.? Was it H.W. Bush? She
probably.
Was,
she was at
the, yeah, know, she usually shows.
But
she
looked
great.
You know, like Jimmy Carter's there, and I'm like, yeah, everybody, Jimmy Carter. And Rosalind was she looked like a melted candle at the end of the row, and it was.
Yeah,
she's kind of grim.
She's not keeping a very high profile these days.
No.
But the bit's funny. So anyway, it's what we've all been waiting for. It's finally here. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram spring sales event. If you're wondering what all the excitement's about, Zot spring sales event, you can lease a 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month. How about leasing a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month? Or if you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a new 19 Chrysler Pacifica as low as $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everyone was such a smashing success that our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram decided to do it again. So while supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Hall Financial, the newest network sponsor. Their first read was on ML Soul of Detroit today, and they are the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of the entire network. David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. You've heard from the listeners. They've got over 600 five-star reviews because they always put you first. 72% of their business is referral because realtors trust them. Their clients love them. You tell your friends about them. And hey, they called Maz yesterday, a year after his refi, to see how it was going.
Yeah.
So they even care afterwards. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 or click the link on the Drew and Mike Show website and fill out the online form, and they get back fast. NMLS number 1467435. The average for a refi is 44 days. They take 19 days on the average. You won't be disappointed in Hall Financial.
I'm so mad about this Theismann story because I'm reading it on Deadspin now.
Mm-hmm.
And they give credit to a station in Washington, D.C. that talked to Joe the Isman.
Oh, come on.
And he basically said the same thing he told us. I'm like, oh, we had it first.
He said we were the first to call.
We had a really nice conversation. It's important to him. And, hey, I want the kid to be successful. He doesn't need to worry about, well, I wish I could have worn a different jersey. I wish I could have worn a number. If this is one less thing that puts any problems out there, or issues out there for him, or statements or comments, let's make his life as easy as possible. Doesn't sound like he's really.
Okay. Okay. I hate Joe Theismann.
What? You do?
I do. I really hate. I'm sorry that you had all of his...
about $8,000.
What?
No, Why do you hate Joe Theismann? He's so nice.
Because I was a big Washington
Crosby
Redskins.
Fan? Oh.
No, Washington Redskins fan, and they lost the Super Bowl because of Joe Theismann. I felt like he threw the game.
Because of Joe Theismann.
Wow, I felt like he threw the game.
Interesting sports analysis. But they had won the Super Bowl the year before. Weren't you all up in Joe Theismann?
I guess I was all, I don't know if I was a fan back then, but the year before.
So you didn't, you were not a fan.
Let's do it!
I became a fan because I loved watching John Riggins. And okay. I think my dad had the football game on. I saw John Riggins, like, who's that guy? And he was just like trampling people like mm-hmm. he would do.
He did.
And then I was like, oh, cool. And I got on the bandwagon, and then they went to the Super Bowl, and then they lost it because
that was the first.
So you were not a fan when they won the Super Bowl the previous year.
No,
you jumped on the bandwagon the following year.
So it's
year,
your fault.
They got all the way to the Super Bowl, lost, and so therefore you are holding him responsible, and you do not like him, and you were probably glad when Lawrence Taylor destroyed
his glad. Oh, I was.
You're the worst.
Sorry.
That's the Super Bowl. That was the first time I cried over a sporting event.
Aw.
Jack Squirek.
I was, yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders. Yep. Killed them.
Watching it with my Redskins helmet and trash can. I don't know why my trash can was sitting next to
it. It was Redskins, Abelia.
I was so bummed.
That was a bummer Super Bowl.
That was just a little girl's, like, you know, momentary fascination yeah, with dudes.
I don't see a lot of deep research.
No.
Going on.
God, no.
I don't know. No. It seems a little flip to me.
I think I stuck with them until they got the first black quarterback.
Doug Williams.
Through the Doug Williams era.
Part of the diversity. In the quarterback position.
I did.
That's good.
Yeah.
And he won a Super Bowl.
And you like Mark Rippon, too? Jeez.
No, I think I fell off after Mark Rippon.
Jay Schrader?
No.
There's one other big local story, and that is the rain and all this flooding in Dearborn Heights, Detroit, St. Clair Shores. I mean, incredible flooding. They did the first 15 minutes on the new news.
On Mother Nature.
The flooding. Taylor, also, basements just flooded. And all I could think about was, wait, it didn't rain that much.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It did overnight, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it poured overnight.
Yes.
No, you got to go back to last Thursday into Friday it poured. My yard's been flooded since last Thursday.
Really?
Tremendous amounts of water.
Well,
did it rain?
It rained a lot since.
So you're saying that it should be flooding?
Well, it should never flood, but in this area, backyards flood all the time. And then when that happens, of course, there's certain areas that they just get backup flooding into their basements.
I guess I'm lucky it didn't rain at my house.
Yeah.
What do you mean it didn't rain at your house? I'm looking at rainfall
rained.
Totals.
It rained, but it didn't seem like it rained that hard. It was raining hard last night.
Hey.
Layla wouldn't go out.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
By the way, what is DTE doing out here?
Are they in front of my house?
Because there's some massive trucks out there. I think they're going to try to fix the...
Oh, they're going to stop us from
losing
electricity?
I think the squeaky wheel is getting the grease, yeah.
Wow, I hope so.
Unlikely.
Yeah, I would guess not.
Like several trucks.
And I've done a lot of homework on it. Well, I've talked to a few neighbors. And apparently for, I think, a couple of decades now, across the street never loses their power. We do all the time. But that's not any clue to anything. It just makes it a bigger mystery, apparently. It's the same people always losing power.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you would think that would give them some little clue as to maybe something to look at.
That happens in our neighborhood, though, across the street, because they're on different circuits.
Right.
Or
so
something.
Why don't they maybe look at our circuit? Just a thought.
That might, yeah.
But anyway, I'm just so tired of all this flooding. Basements flooded constantly. It's, you know, every 3 years, it seems like, doesn't it? Like every couple of years, there's some big rainstorm. And they go, oh, my God, this is terrible. All the flood. Oh, this is awful. Oh, what are we going to do about it? Oh, well, we need to do, you know, we should spend more money on this, but it never gets done.
Yeah.
So it floods over and over and over. And if I'm remiss on the amount of rain, I didn't think it rained that much. Okay, it rained a lot. But should everyone's house be flooding?
Never.
Should
never
roads
should
be
anyway.
Flooding? What? Why is there, well, at least the Democrats and Republicans agreed on a $2 billion infrastructure deal. I know. Where did that come
from? It's awesome.
I'm delighted. But are they going to fix something here to do with the flooding? Because
damn roads.
I assume it's going to be up to the state.
Spend some money on roads? Could they spend some money on police? Could they spend some money on flooding? People's basements being constantly fucking flooded. It's so tiring. Over and over and over. I don't know. It just seems like government does things to help people. And boy, it seems like that would help, especially Detroit, where these people's houses flood. I mean, it can rain a little bit in their basement floods. people. I know the stories are so sad. It's just horrible. And people without the means to really do a lot about it.
2.1 inches of precipitation on the 30th. That overnight alone on the 30th. 4 inches.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
4 inches since last Thursday.
That's what drains are for.
No, I know, but it's just sad that you even have to think about it.
Well, they were warning people not to drive into deep water today. That was the
people
no-brainer.
Do it. Yeah, the lodge was closed downtown.
So much fun when the water splits, like, you know, Moses in the Red Sea.
I know.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah, that was that was a frustrating thing locally, and it just feels like instant replay over and over. Nobody does anything. But really the big breaking news, this is what I think I have the most email about. Although Joe Theismann giving his blessing, a lot of people are screaming that we are not getting credit. I don't really know what we did.
It's proof now. We told them no.
I'd like to see us get credit. Janelle Evans from Teen Mom, one of the biggest idiots on the planet Earth. Her husband is David Eason. She has three children by three different men. One of them is David Eason's. They have a dog who nipped at the two-year-old Ensley. Oh,
Lord.
Ensley.
Her name is Ensley.
And
all's well that Ensley's.
Okay, it was a light nip on the face. The kid, who is two, was kissing the dog. And I could tell as I was looking at the clip, like, that dog's not going to like that because I've kissed dogs before. And Mags doesn't like it. But I don't go right up in his face and kiss him on the lips. I just kiss his head and he has to shake it every time. Like,
really?
He has a really cool sound effect when he does it.
Do it. Let's do it.
Max has his own sound effect. Let me see.
Uh-oh. Where is he? Somebody get a video of this.
Come here. Come here, Max.
Making out.
See if he can make it.
Slow down,
Max. He's been shaking a lot with me, by the way.
What?
He loves to shake.
Oh.
Really?
What's up, dog?
Yeah, there you go.
He's just trying to get some of the weight off one leg. Are you kissing him?
He just did. He swooped in. Plant one.
Oh, jeez.
See, he doesn't like it. He's not crazy about it. He does. He likes to come in close and hang out, but he doesn't like kisses on the head.
Huh?
Yeah, but he loves sitting on your head.
He does. No, he loves to
dish it out.
Put his paw on my stomach and do his penguin thing, and me pet him on the stomach. He's kind of nuts about that. But anyway, this kid.
Say the truth, brother. Between you and me, that thing with the dog is coming off a little fruity.
The kid just went in. This is why little kids can't always be around animals. It's right. A French bulldog. What's the dog's name? Nugget?
Nugget.
Aw.
Yeah.
That was the name of my dog.
The dog just gave a little nip, and there's a picture, a little red spot on her. It didn't bite her. It's not like it broke skin or something.
No blood.
So he shot the dog.
Aw.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that's an overreaction.
He should not be around his children.
Anyone.
No.
Or people.
Okay, first of all, this is the guy who went on a homophobic rant and is not allowed to shoot. Janelle has to shoot anything without him being present.
You
MTV has banned him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he beat her up. She called 911 crying, claiming her collarbone was broken. Then she said, oh, it's crazy. It didn't happen. And the stupid media is just blowing it up. No, you called 911, you dumbass. I mean, she's the biggest idiot on the planet Earth. But if she was beaten up and she called 911, God bless her. But then she says, it didn't happen. He has quite a list of arrests for other things. I think armed robbery and maybe it was armed robbery. I don't remember exactly. So now he shoots their French bulldog because nobody's going to stop me from protecting my dog.
Did he hit the dog?
Daughter.
Did he hit the dog?
I don't know if he hit the dog.
Sure, the dog's alive.
It matters. Oh, the dog's alive?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying the he shot the dog. Janelle posted that the dog is gone.
Oh, you know what? He claims the dog's alive, but he wouldn't show the police.
No, okay, he wouldn't. The police came. He wouldn't let them on his property. He said, the dog is alive. They said, can we see the dog? He said, no.
Nice guy.
Because Janelle went on such a crazed rant and said she was leaving the house, that the dog was gone, and she was apologizing to the dog, saying it needed better training. The assumption was, and he likes to shoot guns a lot on Instagram, which I think he was asked to stop doing. Mm. But anyway, he is the biggest dick ever. If this is a prank of some kind or another one, oh, it happened, it didn't happen. I mean, what do you do? What? Why does MTV let this idiot on their show?
I don't know.
Hey, you guys saw the thing about Instagram today, too, which may slow down some of this, you know, showboating.
Well,
it's unlikely. Is it taking off that likes?
Yeah. And
as an experiment?
You know what I hate about this story is, first of all, of course there shouldn't be likes. It's a terrible idea. Teenage girls who are not the prettiest or the cheerleader or whatever are being now their popularity is being put in numbers, specific numbers.
Without my following.
Quantified popularity. Mm. It's awkward enough being a 13 or 15 year old girl. Mm. I think it's terrible. Everyone knows it. Every story you read about mental health of teenagers is it's worse, much worse. And this is one of the reasons. And Instagram, you know what? We figured out that maybe this isn't such a great idea. Like, you know, it required 100 different studies point this out, and then they go, hey, you know, we'll knock it off with the likes.
When I first saw the story, it said that publicly you can't see the likes, but a person can still see them on their own page.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
I know.
What's the point then? Because you're just going to go to your friend. I got 30 likes.
Yeah,
the friend's
going
to go, I have 5,500.
Not to mention, it shows how many followers they have.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing.
Just don't do it. Don't Instagram. Don't ever tweet.
They were making quite a deal out of, well, that's great because people won't get so depressed. And I'm thinking, well, if they learn not to react to that.
Maybe if you delete the app.
Or that, yeah.
You know,
somebody told me it was really the underlying thing is that they wanted to keep advertisers who don't have as many likes because people are on to the fact that it's an ad,
yes,
from being ignored or clicked past because of that. But that's the underlying thing, even though
it's always about money.
The Instagram person would have you think it's to help people.
Oh, I saw a content creator saying, I'm a content creator. This is my career. How can they take the likes away?
Create content elsewhere then.
Yeah, content creator, probably flashing her tits, you know, every 5 minutes.
Nice. That's the kind of content I want created.
I know that's what's so pathetic about it is that's the kind of content everyone wants. I mean, we've created a monster.
Yeah, and it's the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, it's done now. Nothing you can do.
It's part of our life going forward.
But, you know, wouldn't it be maybe just a little better if people said, you know what? You're 13. You shouldn't have a voice, and you don't need an Instagram page.
Well, they're not supposed
to. Wouldn't that be nice?
They're not supposed to unless they are 13, which is still young, but there's no verification of it.
No, there's no verification. But honestly, a 15-year-old is dumb.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know what to post. They don't know what not to post. Mm-hmm. So why? Whatever. It's pointless. Why are we talking about this? Because, of course, they're going to have an account.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stop doing this. Everyone wants to find out how popular they are and how smart they are. Yeah, it's scary, especially for guys like you that have little girls coming up. It's horrible. It's awful.
I'm worried about it.
Yeah, it's something to worry about. It is.
So follow us on Instagram at Drew and Mike.
Please, will you?
Absolutely, and like us while you still can. It makes us feel good. Wait, we're not losing our Facebook likes, are we?
No.
This is my career. I'm a content creator.
Brandon lost three.
I worked so hard to get those likes.
Brandon lost three Twitter follows yesterday.
Why?
Yeah, because I put a wiener on people's timelines. Sorry about that.
Really?
I did gain two back. Yeah. Mark posted a picture holding up his Joe the Isman Kraft macaroni and cheese voucher for $1. So he posted that. And his mouth is open, so someone was going to put a dick in it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is a preemptive penis.
Just figured it might as well be somebody from the show.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, that... Okay. Now, what's wrong with that? That
is offensive? You tell me. Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's a throwback Drew and Mike show art material.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, what
I know.
Was,
I wanted it. Well,
what
someone
was the
wanted
movie
it.
That actually pirated the idea and made a big deal about
oh,
it.
Oh, Superbad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always drawing dicks. I wanted to draw it on there, but Brandon, you were better idea just to Photoshop it. Ugh, so gross.
Oh, people coming in the studio and, hey, you got the sports section and you know, 8 penises drawn on it.
Every hand.
Dark ink. No every hand.
Relax. No one ever said anything.
I like the screenwrite feature on my phone because I draw dicks in everybody's mouth.
So great.
Everybody. It's so everybody great. Gets one. You had a picture with your mouth open. Sorry.
Exactly. You cannot take a picture with your mouth open.
No, it's a big
like
mistake.
A known dick drawer.
Zod Ford and Holly is conducting a very unique VIP key for key event. During this event, you can exchange your current vehicle for a brand new 2019 Ford without spending a dime out of your pocket. Their goal is to match or lower your monthly payment. And apparently during Key for Key, Maz returns emails and phone calls.
Oh, yeah, great.
During Key for Key.
Only?
I don't know. It's crazy. Where's you butt out?
There is some breaking news on that. He brought
you butt out.
Stephen Gabara a 12-pack of Diet Coke that he owed him.
I thought I mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. You did? I did. No. Interesting timing.
Crazy. Zod Ford's managers have been authorized to assist you in terminating the remainder of your loan or lease, no matter what you owe. This event, oh boy, this means Maz will be asking a lot of people to need a car. This event will feature a straight VIP key for key. VIP key for key. Wow. I didn't realize it was a VIP. You give Zod Ford the keys to your current vehicle. They will give you the keys to a brand new 2019 Ford. No hassles, no gimmicks, no shenanigans. Just go see Maz or Maz's personal sales manager, Gary. There it is. Or any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County and tell them Drew and Mike sent you. And if you missed the story yesterday, Maz was trying to drum up a deal, and his boss was out of the office, and he felt it was taking too long. So he and Gary put together a deal.
Yeah.
And with
teamwork.
And they had less than no authorization to do so. So apparently
that's bullshit.
There's been a lot of, a little bit of a hubbub about that.
Well, you know, Tom's always in a hurry to get stuff done. So.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I know.
Did you see the story about the family that was having Easter dinner, and they started arguing about what's better, Ford versus Chevy trucks? And
yes.
I got arrested.
Guy shot 4 people.
What the hell?
And the part of the story that was most incredible was when they said attempts to reach police to find out whether the shooter favored Ford or Chevrolet were not returned.
Yeah, you don't know.
I mean, is if that's really a part of the story, like, well, yeah, he favored Ford. Well, now I understand he favored Ford, so I get it.
I think it's interesting to know.
No, I wanted to know, too.
You got to figure, he was losing the argument, which is why he shot. You're not going to shoot somebody if you're winning the argument.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to put a lot of logic into that story. But anyway, Dr. Roche is doing phenomenal boob lifts out of his own mouth. He's not someone to usually brag about his work, but he's very pleased with his boob lifts. He said they've had some phenomenal. You know how it is with, you know, you get a certain age and a couple of kids, and it's like kids total boobs. They do. And Greg has put people out of that office, restoring an amazing rack.
Yeah,
and
snapping them back.
Very happy results, not to mention the implants and the fat transfer. So it's always boobs, boobs, boobs with Greg. And there are other things, too.
And yeah, they're transforming your mother into a hot mama for Mother's Day.
What?
Yeah, screw flowers, hell with chocolates. You know, you should supply your mom with, you know, not that cheesy Mother's Day jewelry with your birthstone on it, ew. Make sure she gets body bucks so that she can go to Dr. Roche and get her Mother's Day Diva package. You don't maybe want to know about that.
Wait, I'm not getting
the free
my,
G shot.
My mom is not getting a Diva package. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Hi, mommy.
It's not happening.
Or an injectable special if you're not comfortable with getting your mom Diva. But
well, dads get mom's stuff, so
yeah, they can.
Don't open that in front of the kids, please.
Buy two areas, get the third area half off. And complimentary 1cc wrestling. Mommy Makeover, special discounts on all surgical procedures through the end of this month. Just for Mother's Day. Think about your mother on Mother's Day and how she might need to maybe look better. That would help.
Yeah, Mom likes to get off, too.
DROCHE.com or 248-338-1110.
That's it.
And just say goodbye to Greg.
Not only is David Hall the sponsor of the entire Red Shovel Network, Dr. Galdo is too, sponsoring Charlie, ML, and Eli. No Filter recording a new show tomorrow. ML recorded one today. Charlie on Friday, which will be out Sunday. Dr. Galdo has improved the lifestyle of many of our listeners with his two state-of-the-art surgeries, custom CATS LASIK, the most advanced in the world, people getting better in 2020, and multifocal lens implants for people 45 or older who want to get great far vision and never need reading glasses again. Trudy loves her LASIK. Eli loves his multifocal implants. He brags about them regularly, probably too often. And many of you have raved about how great it is to be done with contacts, glasses, readers, all that ancient technology. Dr. Yellow's great designer frames.
Ooh,
for
yeah.
those of you who want to get your glasses. Make the call. Get up to half off on custom LASIK till May the 15th. If you mention Drew and Mike, 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to aldoeyecenter.com. And I hear the Hall Financial Hotline opening. If you want a refi or you want a mortgage for your home, just click the link to Hall Financial on our website or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. I said Pauly Shore, possibly?
It is, yeah.
Wow.
Pauly!
Yo.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
What's going on?
What's new?
There we go. We're going to do an interview for to promote the shows and stuff.
Yeah.
You got a ton of stuff to promote.
Let's do it. Start
All right.
asking me questions.
Bring it. Pressure's on. You know, it's funny. We talked to Maz today, who sets this stuff up, and when he said, yeah, Pauly Shore, and he had told me you were going to call about a week ago. And the first thing, I don't know why this popped into my head, but I was thinking about you on MTV and Charlie Sheen. And I was wondering, I know this is not off on the plug list, but do you and Charlie Sheen, are you guys still friends?
He's in my other room right now.
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm. He's with some babe. He's trying to get it together. He won't come out. Hey, Charlie, they're on the radio. Charlie. No, I haven't seen him in a while. I know he did that show in Detroit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a great show.
That was didn't go too well.
Wow.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
For the wrong
reasons. Was it a mess?
It was terrible.
It was a mess. Oh. It was an absolute mess.
It was like a car wreck, though. We couldn't stop watching it. A lot of people got up and left. I'm like, there is no way I'm leaving this.
But he has since called us and apologized for that show.
Yeah,
actually.
He did apologize to the whole city.
Well, he's kind of like Jesse Smollett of Detroit.
Except he really did the show.
Yeah, I'll ask you about Jesse Smollett. Yesterday, Empire announced that they had reached an agreement with him for next season, but his character's dead.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It's basically a paid vacation.
So it's ghost Jesse Smollett?
Why are they paying him?
I don't know.
They're trying to have it both ways.
It's a wild world we're living in now.
I know it
is. You got to mind your P's and Q's.
What he did wasn't too cool, I guess. But, you don't get to do stuff like this, just get paid for not doing anything. You have to go out there on the road and do your game. I saw your documentary.
I was going to do a thing for some white supremacists because I'm Jewish. You know, have them pretend beat me up, you know, outside like a, like outside of an MC's, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that would get...
They'll come up to me, call me a Jew, you know what I mean? You know, like, they have a big nose, you know?
Right, this is white supremacy.
And then he did it with the African-American gay thing, and I'm like, God, he already did it. I can't do it now, you know?
Did you have MAGA hats on these guys?
Yeah, it's some MAGA hats on them and some KKK hoods and all that shit, you know?
You know, I'm trying to picture that, like, all these people on social media going, oh, my God, I stand with Pauly Shore. This is so terrible. I can't quite picture it, but, I mean, I can.
And then they come out, and I say I just set the whole thing up because I wanted to get promotion because I'm doing a big show in Detroit, you know?
At the Magic Bag. And is that May the 18th? Yes, it is May the 18th. It's on a Saturday night. Doors at 7 o'clock. And there are some tickets available to see Pauly Shore. And you've played the Magic Bag before.
Yeah, many years ago I did it, and that's why I'm coming back. I'm also going to be at Motor City Comic Con that weekend, too.
That's right.
Wow, one-stop shopping.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll be there during the day, and then at night, I'm going to do my shows. The first show sold out, and they still have a couple tickets left for the second show on the Saturday. So,
Pauly, that's a very lucrative day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very happy for you. Trudy, can you get the list?
Most comedians haven't caught on to that yet.
Brilliant. The one thing that's kind of interesting is that there are tons of people from Motor City Comic Con. Do you fraternize with all of them when you do those gigs?
I have to because they're so bizarre. I have to go up and touch them, you know?
Like Mark Paul Gosselaar is going to be there.
The Saved by the Bell guy, what's his connection to Comic
Con? He's in The Passage now.
Okay, and so, what's Pauly's connection to Comic Con other than he's here?
Pauly. I mean, what connection does he need?
Yeah, they tell me I fit into all those cons. It could be a horror con, like put Polly there. It could be a this con. Put, you know what I mean? So.
Well, no,
I got the guy from Creed from The Office, and also Stanley from The Office is there. I mean, Barry Williams is there.
Barry Williams? Oh, what's his connection to Comic-Con?
I don't know. I mean,
It's mostly nostalgia. Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah, I think you're a draw, and I think Barry Williams is a draw, too. I just was trying to, because he used to be a certain kind of person in a certain sort of movies. But
yeah. Wink Dog.
Oh, wait.
Is Shatner really there?
No, Shat, but Henry Ian Cusick from Lost is going to be there.
Oh, cool.
Hot.
Okay.
And George Takei. And, of course, Pauly Shore. And many more.
Yeah. Have you ever been to those before?
Yeah,
one actually made an appearance just promoting
Ooh.
It. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun because there's all those people in one place. That's what I thought was cool because a lot of people say, oh, you know, this is a person who did a movie a long time ago. They're kind of C-list. And I always say, I love those people. I love interviewing those people. Yeah. They're usually better
like,
interviews.
It's more like F.
These are all people. A lot of these people are good interviews, though. Like The Office, I'll talk to anyone from The Office. I love that show. And there's always a lot to talk to you about. And Barry Williams, I don't know. Yeah, he has kept himself out there for so long. And the brother, he wasn't really his brother.
Mike Lookinland?
Well, the one who was on with...
Isn't that Mike Lookinland?
He had all the dating shows and the show with his wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's Mike Lookinland, yeah.
Is that Mike Lookinland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lou Ferrigno, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, Lou's a good guest.
Sure. Pauly, you said how things are crazy out there now in crazy times. That doesn't affect your stand-up at all, does it? Do you do colleges anymore?
It affects everyone. I mean, you just have to, like, know that you could be being recorded at any time and you don't want to say anything that is too derogatory. You want to just kind of take it to the edge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even on my stuff, I don't go over the line. You know, I kind of just take it to the edge. Yeah.
Could another Sam Kinison exist today?
Yeah.
I don't think so. That's like saying, is there another Led Zeppelin? You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean his style.
Or for that matter, Greg Giraldo, too, who had a lot of...
You're talking about dirty comedians?
Yeah, just in his style and just, you know, out over the top and in your face and risque things and edgy.
I think with Sam, you know, I think he was offensive, but it wasn't like he was really offensive. Like, I don't think he was... Like, he could say racist stuff, but I don't think he was a racist. I think that has a lot to do with you know, you can kind of tell, right? I think, you know, if you have a little tongue in cheek and you're kind of giggling about whatever it is you're talking about, you can see you're just kind of poking the bear a little, but without, you know, cutting him open, you know?
Yeah. I thought Sam was likable. I thought Greg Giraldo was incredibly likable. We knew him.
They were funny. Most importantly,
I think that has a lot to do with it, you know.
I bet you Paulie's not playing colleges. Are you playing colleges?
No, I haven't played colleges in a while.
Okay.
Because of that or just in general?
Well, it's not my real demographic.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah.
I think college,
I'm more the Trump demographic.
Clearly,
you know, all those people that go to Trump rallies, they sit in the back, you know, behind Trump. I'm like, man, those guys were at my show last night.
That's why you do a drop dead perfect impersonation of Stephen Miller.
Oh yeah,
it's great. Wow, they're really waiting.
I'm waiting for him to mess up again so I can like come back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you need him in the news cycle so you can keep doing the videos.
Exactly.
Makes total sense.
Pauly, I was a diehard fan of, like, the movies, you know, the Encino Man, Son-in-Law, Jury Duty, Biodome. I would see these in the theaters. Man. I also loved In the Army Now with Andy Dick. Do you ever see Andy? He's a pretty big fan of the show, or friend of the show, excuse me.
He's a fan.
I haven't seen Andy in a long time, you know. That's the thing is, like, people think that you do movies with people and then you're immediately friends forever. I mean, most of the time you do movies and you never see those people again, you know.
The only reason I might have thought maybe you and Andy might be connected, he does do a lot with comedy clubs, and I see on his Twitter he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. But what do you think of Andy?
I mean, you can't, it's like you can't make plans with that guy. Like, I'm not going to be like, yo, I'm not going to be like, you know, let's go get lunch. Like, you know, like, he won't show up, you know?
No, he's one of our more recurring guests. He's one of our best guests, one of our best guests ever. He's always funny. He's very quick on his feet, but we have to call him out of the blue. We can never plan anything with him either.
Yeah. You know, that's how it is.
Well, next thing you're going to tell us that you're not best buds with Stephen Baldwin from Biodome. Are you?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I love Stephen and we have a friendship, but I don't go hang out with him. I don't make plans with him.
You don't go to church with him or
hang out with him?
No, we just fooled you guys, you know?
Was that called acting?
Oh, yeah.
Called acting, exactly.
I'm like, shocked.
Well, Paulie,
I don't think I've seen Brendan Fraser since we did Encino Man.
Except for when he's clapping.
There's anybody else
clapping on the Golden Globes.
Yeah. So.
Well, Paulie, I saw your documentary on. It was on stand up. You were traveling to shows, and
it's really good.
I enjoyed it. I really thought it was fun, and it made me feel like, why isn't Paulie doing more stuff like, I mean, just movie type stuff. Because your movies, Brandon's a fan. I know, Mark, you like Paulie's movies.
I love them, yeah. Well, you have Guest House coming out.
Yeah, we just finished that. I don't know. There's no answer. That's like saying, how do they get to the moon? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, unless you're Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, and the phone's ringing all the time, then you're pretty much looking for projects. And when you look for stuff, that never happens. So you create your own stuff. And then once in a while you get opportunities, just luckily, randomly, that, you know, pop into your life, you know? So I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm all right. I got a nice fan base. I've been doing stand up for a while. I do my own stuff and I'm alive and I'm healthy and I don't have, you know, AIDS or cancer. I mean, what's better than that?
Yeah. Right? That's pretty good. I got to think about my life a little more now that you say that. But going back to the documentary, you were, you know, traveling is a tough life, you know, airports and, you know, these local gigs. But you had an extremely loyal fan base. That was the thing that amazed me about that show. Not that you're not worthy of it, but it was just really cool to see that. And I enjoyed it. But I'm going back to these movies like Biodome and Encino Man. And they had a nice audience. People still watch them. They still laugh at them. But they aren't making a lot of movies like that now, because if it's not Superman or Marvel, I mean, there just aren't that many movies being made like that, are there? Because I used to love those little comedies.
Yeah, Guest House has got that feel. When you watch Guest House, it's going to hopefully be, you know, in that kind of genre, you know, which is like crazy, over the top, fun, but also have a lot of heart in a good time, you know?
Who did you... I'm looking at the cast list for that movie. There's a lot of names that are kind of all over the place. Who did you mainly share the screen with?
Bobby Lee.
Okay.
And then the guy Mike Castle, who's the lead kid in it, who, you know, moves into the house and I'm in the back, you know?
Okay.
He's a good young actor, and his who else?
Not Charlotte McKinney?
No.
Let's see. Billy Zane?
Nope.
Billy Zane's in it?
Yeah. I mean, the list is huge. Even Ed Bassmaster is in it.
Ed Bassmaster?
Would you look at this guy? Yeah. Allegedly. I mean, I'm just looking at
Wait,
IMDb.
Ed Bassmaster's in it?
Yeah, I guess.
Really?
I'm sure Paulie has no idea who that is.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an Instagram sensation.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He does know who he is.
It's going to be a cute movie. I mean, the premise is that, you know, I live in a guest house and I won't leave, and it turns into this kind of like... It turns into this like turf war, you know, kind of like Neighbors, but little bit more wilder, more sexier, over the top, you know. There's naked girls and good times. It's fun. It's a cute. It's cool. I'm happy with it. So.
Well, I was just trying to think of where I saw, you know, because your mom has always talked about a lot with comedy and all the great people that came through in the 70s. Oh, it was the Gary Shandling documentary.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, of course. I was a fan, and Gary was great. And, you know, it's too hard for me to talk or talk about it or watch those things, you know? I kind of want to, in my life, it's been so emotional, you know, and I just kind of want to move forward, you know? It's not a fun time, and I don't think that, you know, my mom would want me to sit and talk about that, because it's like, you know, you want to... I can hear her now going, stop talking about it. No one cares. Forward, you know? You know what I mean? No one gives a shit.
It's a great legacy, though.
It's old news.
Well, I have to tell you that watching it, it was really emotional for me. I loved Gary Shandling, and it was...
You know what? The Robin Williams one. Oh, my God, yeah. Dude. It's so heavy.
Yeah, so. I know. No, you're right. It is, I'm sure, having partially lived it, it's a little different. Pauly Shore's at the Magic Bag on the 18th. It's a Saturday night at 7 after being at Comic-Con during the day. It's a huge payday for Pauly. Be sure to mention that. Congratulations on his payday.
Also, you have to watch my new podcast. It's on video now. It's called Pauly Shore's Random Rants on YouTube. It's awesome. I'm really excited about it.
Oh,
and
cool.
If you want to see me go crazy, just put Pauly Shore YouTube Random Rants, and it's got all these episodes of me going nuts.
Wow. How long are the rants, Pauly?
Like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
God. Those are long rants.
That is a long rant.
But it's almost like, you know the show Big Brother?
Yeah.
It's like that, but I'm by myself.
Well,
dude, I'm telling you, it's hilarious. You guys got to look at it and talk about it. It's crazy. The way I set up all these cameras in my apartment, people are going to think I'm crazy. Well, I want people to be like, oh my God, what's wrong with this guy? He's nuts. But I'm not. I'm not on drugs. It's just who I am, you know?
Do people just always assume that you're high or on something?
Yeah, because of my style and my cadence, you know?
Yeah. Is that how annoying is that?
I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
Maybe it lowers expectations. It lowers the bar. You can exceed expectations. It's great.
I mean, I grew up in a very wild environment, so my persona and my style is off. It's definitely offbeat, you know?
Yeah.
That's good.
No, I never think of Pauly's being high, but I can see a lot of other people thinking that because you seem very together. And May the 18th, Magic Bag and Comic-Con the same day. Where's Comic-Con?
That is at the Suburban Showcase.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling. Okay, yes. Pauly, thanks so much for the time. Good luck with the show and everything else.
Yeah, and I'll tell Charlie Sheen that I say hi.
Please do. And we'll tell him hi if we get to him first. Thanks, Pauly.
Bye.
Here's a random rant. It's a good idea, though, man.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My place is a fucking mess. I have to say that shit. But then who else is a mess? I'm a motherfucking mess! Oh. Tyler, are you on me or are you fucking dicking around again?
I'm on you, dude.
Who's in there with you, a black guy?
Yeah.
Is there a fucking black guy in there?
Yeah.
Let me see his face.
He's just like two
Did
inches
see
from
him?
The camera.
1 second.
Don't fucking 1 second me. Is there a black guy in there?
Yeah. There is. They just cut to that camera.
Is he an intruder or is he cool?
He's cool.
All right.
Is he an intruder?
Sure. So, anyways, I'm trying to organize all this shit.
Look at all those cameras.
I wonder how written out this is.
We have a small problem. The small problem is, and the black guy maybe will help me out with this shit. He's got to tune in. The small problem is that I've been doing this movie in the last couple weeks, and they've been putting a lot of fucking product in my hair. Plus, there's been wind. I don't know if you guys know this shit, that there's been wind all over L.A. Did I feed you guys today?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even say thank you.
He's making dinner.
What the fuck ever, bro. Anyways...
Who are
There's
these
been
people?
A lot of wind and
they're the ones that they handle the camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they just switch the camera while he just walks around and does his 30-minute show from home.
I see.
Oh. Wow.
I think it's got potential.
Well, he's got like 90 episodes up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? They got about 25,000 views each.
But Hulk Drew needs something like that.
I know. It's
oh,
kind
Drew
of
loves
a
cameras.
Cool idea.
Yeah, yeah, Zoovs can switch the camera angles.
That'd be great.
You know, 24-hour feed. And
nobody's doing a podcast, so how cool is that? Oh, my God, these podcasts.
I know. Well, Zuckerberg has one now.
Yeah. We'll give you a brief clip of what it sounds like after the show today.
The Zuckerberg one cracked me up reading the story about it because of who his guests were. Did you see that, who his guests were?
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were.
Let's see.
By the way, did I mention Dennis Rodman is having Okay, the Instagram.
The Instagram Jesse.
With the, who is nothing without her following. Oh, how? Why would she be on his show? Why is she on Cameo? What? There's just silly.
Tech in society with Mark Zuckerberg. In an episode published today, he spoke with Alex Springer CEO Matthias Dopfner. What?
Ooh, what?
Exactly. Who and what? Another episode, he had Harvard law professor Jonathan Zittrain. Which, gross. Is Zittrain? Ugh.
What crazy name is that?
I don't know. I'm sure
Brandon's doing a pre-interview, it looks like.
Oh, oh, wow. Oh, boy. Oh, back to back.
Would that be Michael Imperioli already?
Oh, Lord.
He'd be early, but.
That's okay.
Sounds very like a very punctual.
Or it's Maz checking in to make sure Polly called.
Oh.
That's possible, too.
No, I saw the area code. I don't think that's Maz, but.
Oh.
Was it New York, New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh.
I believe so.
Well, Michael Imperioli can call anytime because we're all big Sopranos fans, and he's coming to town Friday night at Andiamo's with some of his Soprano friends as they're celebrating the 20 years since The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
No.
It doesn't seem like
love
it.
One of
my favorite all-time shows. Are you there, Michael?
I am here. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You guys have done Andiamo's before.
Bunch of times, yeah.
How does that go? Because I've heard about it. I've never been, but it sounds like, you know, it's hardcore Sopranos fans, and you guys interact with, you guys speak, and are there Q&A too?
Yeah, it's, you know, we've done it actually over the years, you know, going back a few years, and we have a lot of fans there. It's usually sold out, and what happens is there's a couple of comedians that come on first that are great, and then they show a bunch of clips from myself, Steve Tripp, and Vinny Pastor scenes from the show. And then we come out, and the comedian usually interviews us on stage, and that's where we talk about, you know, what it was like doing the show, stories from behind the scenes, stuff the fans don't know, how we got the show, what it was like doing it, you know, the highs, the lows, you know, the tragedy and the comedy and all that stuff. It's like an inside the actor studio look at The Sopranos. And then we open it up to the audience, and that's where it gets, you know, unexpected, because you never know what people are going to have.
I was just going to ask you, I'm very intrigued by the Q&A and what kind of screening process is involved, if any.
There's none. If you buy a ticket, you're entitled to ask the question.
Okay. Do you get the same question, like, since you've done it before? Is there one
sometimes
question?
Sometimes. I get, what does the ending mean? I get, that's a popular one. Yeah. I get, where did the Russian go? Which is a very specific reference to a specific episode. And and then, you know, there's always stuff you never expect. You get people who are, you know, people who are very, very sentimental and emotional. You get people who are irreverent. So it runs the gamut, you know, but it's a lot of fun.
It had such a profound effect on people for so long, and you've transcended that so many different ways. Detroit 187, you were here for a while, right?
It's a good show.
Did you live
here? I lived in Royal Oak for a year. Yes, and we shot that show in Detroit. And so besides The Sopranos, I also have a connection to, you know, the area. So I have a lot of fans. Because when we were on the air, even though nationwide the ratings weren't good enough to keep us on for a second season in Detroit and, you know, the surrounding areas, it was like huge. You know, it was very highly rated in the area.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it was a really good show. And people kind of felt we were, you know, the home team that year. So I have a lot of friends in Detroit.
How cool is that? I have to guess. Did you live in Royal Oak in the fifth, the building called the fifth on Washington Street?
The fifth. No, I lived in right on. What's the main street? Is it Main Street?
Main Street.
I lived right near the movie theater.
Whoa, really?
Oh, okay.
And I guess that's 11 miles.
Yep. Yeah,
11 miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right over there. I think some people did live in the fifth from the show, but not.
Yeah, the fifth's a very cool place to live, but that's a cool place to live, too. I mean, I knew it was something.
Well, it was a great neighborhood because you can walk to everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive everywhere. You can go have dinner. You can go see a movie. You can go shopping and then we were shooting downtown. Our studios were in Highland Park, and then locations were all over downtown. So it was really easy to get to work.
I didn't always have to jump on the highway. I could take, you know, Woodward all the way down. You know?
I live in Ferndale, so I'm disappointed I didn't bump into
you. I love Ferndale.
Yeah, Ferndale's great.
A lot of fun.
My God, how did I not run into Michael Imperioli?
No.
That would have been so much fun.
It's a great Middle Eastern place, Ferndale. I used to go to a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of it. It was really good, though.
Anita's Kitchen?
Like Lebanese. Yes, that's the one. That was great.
It's phenomenal.
Sweet. Look at all these local references. Wow. I just saw you in Escape at Dannemora playing Governor Cuomo, which was really interesting to see that.
That is true. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Yes, I got to hang out with the governor in his office, pick his brain, and that was a lot of fun. Really cool.
And be directed by Ben Stiller, too.
Who was great, yeah. I didn't work a ton on that show, just a few scenes, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did wonder, though, because in Escape of Dannemora, as Governor Cuomo, you actually went down where he escaped to the steam pipe and all that, and I wondered, did Governor Cuomo really go down there and look at all that?
I didn't, but he did. We did my stuff on a stage at California Story Studios in Queens, because they let them shoot in the yard at Dannemora, but they would not let them shoot inside the prison. But Governor Cuomo did. Actually, you can Google that and see the whole film, which we recreated for the movie. But he went that day. He flew in a helicopter. Was supposed to be at the Belmont Stakes, which is a big day for the governor of New York. But he got on a helicopter and went up to the prison because it was a very dangerous and important thing. And he went down into the exactly where it happened.
Well, I know you from many, many things, and I think I know the answer to this question, but outside of Sopranos, is there one thing that people go, oh, Michael, I saw you in blank?
Well, Goodfellas, of course.
Okay, That's what I was going to say.
That's a movie that pretty much everybody's seen by now, and it's a classic and, a really memorable film. So people remember me from that, definitely.
It seems like you play more cops than you have, you know, like mafia
cops
guys.
And robbers. That's what I call it. One or the other. You know, once in a while, I'm a governor or something.
Have you ever done? Because I saw that you were maybe working on the Bone Collector series, and you're going to be.
Called Lincoln. It's based on the movie The Bone Collector, and I played detective in that one. Yeah.
Wow.
We just shot the pilot in New York last month, and we're waiting. Next week, we'll know if we're going to series, but I hope we are because I think it'll be really good.
That's exciting. And I'm a fan of Lucifer, so I saw you as an angel as well.
Oh.
That's right. So not just cops and robbers.
No.
Well, we were talking about, before you came on, the Basketball Diaries, the Jim Carroll story. You were the best friend.
Yeah,
it's such a good movie. But Leo's in there, and Leo is just this different level thing now. What was it like working with him back then?
Well, he was really young, you know, and he had already made his mark a bit in Boy's Life with De Niro, and I think he had done Gilbert Grape with Johnny Depp.
Both are great, yeah.
So he was a kid, you know, and so was I. I mean, I'm a little bit older than Leo, but I was probably like 26, and he was like, I don't know, 20 or something. You know, that was pretty intense playing somebody who was, you know, on his deathbed. I think that was the first time I did that, shooting in a hospital and looking real sick. But what was fun about it was we shot it in Times Square right before it kind of turned into Disneyland. So that was still on its, you know, in its seedy, grungy glory. That was interesting.
Do you miss the seedy, grungy version
of
Times Square?
You know, what I miss is that Times Square used to, it was a dangerous place, but it was a unique place at the same time. And the big difference in New York is you used to be able to have, there were businesses that were owned by individuals and families that had been generation for generation, not just porn stuff. I mean, like restaurants, and bars, things like that. And now it's just incredibly corporate, like a lot of the city is. So that was the big change.
Yeah, it's amazing how different it is now. It's lost a little bit of its character, to say the least.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. I'm nostalgic for the old days, I have to say.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little grunge.
No.
Did you come from an acting family? Is that for real, or is that just Wikipedia?
My dad was a bus driver, but when I was 14, he started doing community theater.
Wow.
So in some ways, I did.
some ways I did, yes.
Yeah. So there's somebody who asked this question, but I wanted to hear what you had to say about James Gandolfini. Of course, they're going to do the prequel, and his son is in it. But he was, from what I understood, a very generous person when he was with...
He was, you know... he would like read stuff in the paper about somebody getting evicted or somebody who unfortunate person who went through some terrible tragedy and pay off somebody's mortgage like anonymously. And they never know, never still probably to this day don't know it was him, or rescue them out of some terrible, you know, medical bills or some kind of thing, but and anonymously to it, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, he's been gone 6 years, but I remember when he died, it was because of Tony Soprano. Of course, it was going to be a huge deal, but it was amazing, the tributes. People just seemed to like, he seemed like such a likable guy, and everyone he worked with just had...
He was, yeah. He was a good friend and a great actor and a very generous soul. Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Andiamo's Friday night. This Friday night, Michael Imperioli and Big Pussy's there, and who's the third?
Bobby.
Steve Strickler played Bobby Bacala, and Vinny Pastor played Big Pussy. And Andiamo's, if you know, I'm sure most of you have been there. If you haven't, you have to go. The food is great. The showroom's great. It's a little bit of kind of a Rat Pack throwback.
Yeah.
Both in the show and in the vibe at the restaurant. So come on out, man. What
sounds better than a Rat Pack throwback? That sounds cool as hell, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
4 out of 10 people that had HBO watched the final Soprano show. It beat every network show but America's Got Talent, which sounds ridiculous to say. But what an incredible show it was. And 4 out of 10 people, 12 million people watched HBO that night. And who knows how many have watched it since. And I hear from people who are starting over with the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watching for the first time. So it just lives on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, what's cool now is what's been happening is, and it's really kind of a recent thing, is that young people, like particularly like between 20 and 30, who were too young or not born when the show went on, you know, are starting to look at it and getting really into it. And some of them are really into film or film students or want to be that, but some of the people are just like TV and movies and stuff. And that I never expected to happen, and not every show has that kind of life after its initial run. So that's been really cool, and I think a real testament to the show itself.
Yeah, I would put up with the dated nature of that show to watch. I would love to watch it over again, actually.
Yeah.
It didn't feel dated to me. It was just so epic, but yeah.
Well, you know, 99, actually. Yeah, it's not that dated. Yeah.
Hey, Michael, you also get a writing credit for Summer of Sam. Very good movie. How much of that did you write?
Well, I brought it to Spike Lee. I wrote it with a writing partner, and we brought it to Spike, and he, you know, directed it. And he did a final draft of the script, but most of it's, you know.
Why didn't you star in it then?
I was shooting the first season of Sopranos, so I only did a small part, but I would have if I was not doing the Sopranos. I was going to star in it.
I really like that movie. It's such a different take of, you know, David Berkowitz, really. You know, it's not really even about him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really about kind of what happened, and you know, it's really about kind of, you know, paranoia and you know, people who are other than the norm being, you know, persecuted. You know, it's that's really what it's about, and a lot of the events in that are true, and you know, happened to people that we knew, myself and Victor Caliccio, who was the other initial writer of the script.
Who had the spiky hair in the movie?
Adrian Brody.
Oh, that's
Adrian
right.
Brody.
It's like his first one, a first movie I remember him being in.
That character was great.
Yeah, that was a good. He was great. It's a great cast. And Leguizamo and Servino, Jennifer Esposito. There's some great actors in that one.
And you know, the title "Summer of Sam" too. It resonated with me because I remember the summer of Son of Sam very well. Even being in Chicago as a kid, but I was delivering papers. And those headlines, every time something came up with Son of Sam, it was a big deal. And I remember the Cubs were in first place for a while. That's just it's the Son of Sam was such a huge story. I can't imagine what it was like in New York and New Jersey. It must have been crazy.
It was huge. Well, where I lived in New York, you know, I grew up right near where a lot of the murders happened. So,
oh, wow.
People were really scared.
and, you know, weren't going out to clubs at night, and girls were dyeing their hair because he was targeting dark-haired girls with long hair, so girls were cutting their hair short, dyeing it blonde. Then there was the whole blackout that happened that summer, and there was rioting,
right.
And the Yankees were kind of on this huge roll with Reggie Jackson, and Elvis died, and punk kind of exploded, Sex Pistols. It was a very, I think Studio 54 opened that year or around, you know, that it was a very explosive summer, to say the least.
It was.
Pardon the pun, but it really was.
That's, you know, it's one of those movies that if you haven't seen it, it's well worth going back to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, Christopher Moltisanti, and friends at Andiamo's in Warren Friday night. Thanks so much for the time, Michael. It's always great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll see you. Good luck. Have
Take
fun.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Andiamo's Warren. I think that's the one they usually do. There used to be Andiamo's
in
Royal
Oak. Big one,
yeah. Wow. But Andiamo's in Royal Oak. Bye-bye.
Wait, Brandon, he made Brandon.
Brandon had a post interview.
Oh my
comment?
God! Well, I kind of screwed up the pre-show interview.
What happened?
What happened in the pre-show interview?
Well, I didn't really know it was him when he called.
Really?
Yeah, we've had a couple phone calls here and there, but this one was just like, I want to talk to Trudy.
Oh, he like, said that? Oh my God!
Like, how hot is that?
That is so hot.
So I said, "Who's this?" Because he was 15 minutes early.
Like, he was early.
Oh, I want him to talk to me.
Nice guy though, man.
Yeah, he's so cool. He's really cool because. As Christopher, he was a movie maker. He was trying to write a movie and produce a movie. And that's kind of his real life gig. And he's been doing that for one part of his career.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen. Do you remember how he died in Sopranos?
Yeah.
I remember
I have
him.
A problem with how he died.
Take me back.
Zeus doesn't want to hear.
Zeus is plugging his ears. It's not our fault.
Is he watching it now?
Well, we watched all the way through up to the point where, we didn't want to see this.
Oh.
Yeah. We don't want to see him die. So go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, I want to hear it, Mark, because I remember him dying, and Tony finished him off, didn't he?
They were driving.
Shit.
They were.
Sorry, go ahead.
Not seen it.
Nope.
Like
what?
What?
Oh.
I don't want to watch it. It's like 50 Cent.
So
he turns
it
off before the bad guy dies.
Is this payback?
She just doesn't want to see it or hear it.
Is this payback?
Yes, this is.
Did you know that he died?
Six Sense payback.
No. So go ahead, spill.
Oh, I'm sorry. If it's only what only.
Yeah, it's
10 years
God,
old.
It took you 10 years to get back at me.
And it was worth every second.
That was a long game.
Although Sixth Sense was a week-old movie, this is a 10-year-old show.
No, but they're driving in a car. They're driving along. And he's driving, and Tony just like grabs the wheel and crashes the car. Like, that's not how you kill somebody. There's no guarantee you're going to die, and he's going to live.
Shut up, you dick!
Am I remember this correctly? Was Christopher's character really like messed up on? Was he drunk and stoned?
Oh yeah, yeah. He had to go to rehab.
Yeah, but he got himself clean.
Was he
screwed went
through
up a lot
when
of...
when he crashed though?
Hang on, let me. Trudy, don't look if you don't want to see it.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think he might have just gotten clean because it was towards the end of the series.
Yeah. Okay. Just that people like Phil. They're not on that page. Take those roses and stick them up your ass. Stones first.
This system's got no balls.
Oh, great song. Van Morrison doing Comfortably Numb.
That's a lovely accent you have. New Jersey?
That's where I first heard it.
I think he is messed up, and Tony's looking at him like,
that's what I thought.
Shit, yeah.
Just, they're acting with their faces. It's so intense.
That's fascinating they used the Van Morrison version of this.
Yeah.
Because they got not get the real rights to the Pink Floyd.
I don't think Van Morrison's real cheap.
Hold on to your dick.
So he is messed up and he almost crashed and then they crash and then Tony finishes him off. I don't know. I guess they ran out of ways to kill people on the show.
Man, did they ever crash a lot? Of General Motors vehicles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How did Tony know he wasn't going to die?
Maybe you should go back,
well, no,
Heidi.
The crash was an accident.
I'm on my learner's permit after dark.
Wait, did Christopher crash and Tony came out there?
Yeah, then
okay,
no.
I thought you meant he was in the car.
He is in the car.
Oh, he is in the car. Okay.
And then he crashed, he's totally fine, so then he suffocates him and kills him.
That's what I thought.
Because he was so mad
about it. Is there any detail we haven't told Trudy yet?
Do you know how it ends?
all of it? I do, because that
we
was
talked
a,
about
that was a huge
it.
News story.
I've never
at
seen
the time,
anyone so. Hold their ears so tightly as Zoob's right now.
By the way, I somebody
he just
was,
clicked the mouse and quickly put his ear his hand back on his ear.
Somebody was telling me about a person who had a ringtone that was "Don't Stop Believing." I'm like, that person is a Sopranos fan. They've got to be.
If they're a Journey fan, then I don't want to know them.
Well, in deference to the Journey Army, that's what reconstituted them. Don't you think the Sopranos really gave them second life?
I think it helped quite a bit. In 2005, the Chicago White Sox song was "Don't Stop Believing." It was gaining momentum. I don't know why, but yeah, the Sopranos was a real kick, definitely. I saw Steve Perry interviewed by Dan Rather on Axis.
Yeah.
Another Dan Rather interview. Boy, I tell you, he's a really soft guy. Really soft guy.
Rather?
Steve Perry. Oh. And he was so soft that I actually felt kind of bad for him. Like, oh, he's so soft. I hope he's okay.
So Steve Perry. Steve Perry.
It was that soft.
Yes.
He just, I think, Journey overwhelmed him. He was, I know, because they got really big and he was partying a lot. And I don't think his constitution really allows him to get, you know, too crazy. So
a couple of beers.
Yeah, I think there was some substance abuse. I don't think he went to rehab. I don't know if he, I think it was just too much for him. And he wanted to take a break. And then when he came back, his hip hurt. His hip was hurting, and they were getting ready to go out on tour, and they're like, and he's like, "But my hip hurts."
Oh, meanwhile, Axel and Dave Grohl perform with a broken leg in a you know giant chair.
That's kind of what
kick-ass throne.
I think Neil Sean and company were thinking, "Well, look, let's go. Come on, let's suck it up, spit on it." and Steve said, "I can't go like this. I'm trying some." He was trying an alternate healing thing, and they're like, "I gotta wait for this alternate healing thing, and then that doesn't work, and then he needs surgery, and we'll be out in the road in 2026 if we keep waiting for Perry." So soft. So they grabbed Steve Aguirre, which sounds like Steve Perry, and I guess he can sing like Steve Perry, kinda. And I don't think it did all that great, but then they got Arnell Pineda, and Arnell Pineda is really good.
Yeah,
it sounds just like him.
But, and then Stephen Perry's girlfriend, there we go. See, I watched
this part.
This song and others are selling worldwide, and at the same time, you're selling out arenas all over this country, and for that matter, overseas.
S's on Dan Rather are still
But the critics, how do I put this gently?
Uh-oh.
We're not always a great fan
better
of
put
music.
That gently.
They call it corporate rock, quote-unquote, or corporate shamelessly quote, sentimental. Unquote. How does that kind of?
I love shamelessly. I love being shamelessly sentimental.
Because he's soft.
That's who I am. I love that. I'll take that. Thank you.
But he's pretty. He's very likable. I honestly think he's a good guy.
That could be the name of Tom's podcast: Shamelessly Sentimental.
House of Lies. Awesome. House of Lies is better.
Yeah, that's right. It's more accurate.
Good evening. I'm Dan Rather, and tonight on CBS News, 7 Saudi soldiers sodomized several of Saddam's southern settlement squatters.
Oh, Jesus.
Play a little more of Steve Perry.
This criticism, I mean, you're making money, the band's making money, it's maybe the most popular band in the world, but did the criticism cut to you? Did it get to you?
The criticism from all those critics got to a point where I stopped reading all critics. I really must tell you, I think that I've read 3 of them in my career. I just stopped reading them because every night after a show, I got my critical review. If we got 2 encores, I'm good. Okay, I don't need anything else. Some of the band members would wake up in the morning, want to read the paper and get some more opinions. If you like that, keep that to yourself. I'm glad you're enjoying that, but I don't want to hear it because I know what we did last night.
I'm too soft.
We're already rolling to the next city.
We can't talk without talking about Don't Stop Believing. Tell me how that started.
How did we start Stop
rehearsing
Believing?
In a warehouse in Oakland, California, where we would do all our rehearsing and writing.
Ugh.
And just walked in there one day, and I told John Cain, I said, I want something with quarters, quarters on the piano.
Whoa, whoa, I didn't ask for your life story.
Jeez.
Wow.
All right.
Man, he was ready to tell that story forever.
Yeah, and he referenced...
Oh, what are you going to do, cry now?
He referenced the South Detroit, which there is not a South Detroit, but people love singing
oh,
that
what,
part.
Oh, what, you going to cry? No, go ahead, cry. Let me see you. Let me see you cry.
You know, it's funny you mentioned critics, and it hit me because I was watching ESPN's 30 for 30 last night on Felipe Lopez. And, you know, I saw him like, wait, Felipe Lopez. I couldn't remember terribly well. I was like, basketball prospect. I just, and I was thinking it must have some horrible ending. And then he was on the beginning of the thing. So I thought, oh, he's alive. Yeah. So it's not going to be a horrible story.
I didn't see it, but he was on the cover of SI, I remember.
In high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to St. John's. Is that right?
Yes, he went to St. John's. It's really a phenomenal 30 for 30. And, you know, with the immigration thing going on in the debate, it was interesting from that standpoint, too, because he was a kid in the Dominican Republic. And when he was 8 years old, he was one of maybe four kids, five kids. I can't remember exactly. But the family decided, his father announced at dinner one night, and they were just scraping by like most people in the DR.
Get him out of here.
They're talking at dinner, and the father just announces, we're going to the U.S., and they were like,
really?
Oh, my God, how exciting.
For vacation?
No, to live. They're
get out of here.
So they get their visas. I believe, I'm not sure if they were in New York yet or if they were at the air or what was going on. But it was, you know, they were like right about to go. And they said, can't get visas for the two smallest kids.
What?
Yeah.
He was one of the younger ones?
Yes.
That was him?
He was the second youngest, I believe. He was eight. And so they said, okay, we'll reconnect with you. See you.
Wow.
And they left
him
behind.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
And so they get to New York.
See ya.
And meanwhile, he's left behind and he's, you know, crushed. He misses his parents, his family. You know, the family was super close. His families are there. And then when he was, I believe he was 11, he got a visa, and I think it was his sister that got a visa, and they rejoined, reconnected with the family who were living really just getting by. The mother was a teacher, and she was a little old to learn English and to be a teacher, so she was working at a factory. I forgot what the father was doing, but they're just getting by. And he, meanwhile, has been playing basketball in the Dominican Republic, and he gets to America, and he starts, you know, his one place he could go was the basketball court where his... You know, the fact that he didn't know English terribly well, he could just play basketball. And he was a really talented basketball player. He could dunk, I think, in eighth grade.
Wow.
And he became this really incredible player. I mean, and they were calling him like Baby Jordan and the Dominican Michael Jordan when he was a sophomore in high school. And honestly, I'm watching him going, he does remind me of Michael Jordan. He's got great moves.
So what happened?
6'5".
Why did he not make it? Did he ever get drafted?
I'll get there.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm wondering the same thing. The whole documentary, Mark, I'm going,
yeah.
Wait, how is this going to end? I don't remember this. And his junior year, he's a total superstar. He's playing for this New York City team in Washington Heights, which is where most of the Dominican...
I want to know how this story ends.
Most of the Dominican Republic kids are. And he is just tearing it up, averaging, you know, 20 points. He can dunk. He does everything well. He's a great, great athlete, and he's 6'5". And the gym starts getting so crowded with people from the Dominican Republic, they start having to play in bigger gyms because they love this kid and he's so good. And most DR kids play baseball.
Yeah.
He's like the first Dominican Republic kid who's a basketball star. So his senior year, they win the New York City championship, which is a huge deal. And they hadn't, I don't think they'd ever done it. And so he was a monster recruit. Everyone wanted him. They had a whole room full of letters from schools. And he's on the cover of SI. Mm. The next Michael Jordan. And so there's these huge expectations, but this kid is such a smiling, happy kid, and he's learned English fairly well, and he's starting to do interviews. He can't get with the idea of being separated from his family. So he chooses.
Well, he already was once.
Right. Well, no, I understood it. Sonny Vaccaro was telling him, just go to the NBA. Just go right to the NBA. Yeah, skip it. And he had an offer from Europe for, I think it was $750,000. And his mother, and these people are living, just barely getting by. His mother says, nope, he's too skinny. They'll eat him alive in the NBA. He's not ready. I got to fatten him up.
He needs, she know.
I want him to go to college. Nobody's ever gone to college in the family. You know, the whole thing. So he goes to St. John's his freshman year. He averaged 17.9 points a game, 6 rebounds. He has a phenomenal year. But he's supposed to be Michael Jordan, and Allen Iverson torches him for 37 or 39 points. Boy. And so, and they didn't
go
do
home
well
to mommy
in the Big East. His sophomore year, I think he averages 15.9. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's a bust. He's not cover of SI. Are you kidding me? This
go
kid,
home to your mom, darling.
He's not even one of the best prospects in his class. The Dominican flags stop appearing at St. John's games. Man. I know, it was so like...
Expectations are too great.
And they were showing some of the newspaper clippings from the New York papers. Just brutal. I'm like, how can they write these things? I mean, really horrible things. Junior year, disappointing. They have a lousy year. Senior year, Chris Mullen in the offseason told him, you got to work on your shot, man. You should be taking 50,000 shots this summer. And he starts working harder. He had worked hard, but he really put in a hard summer working on his shot. Comes back his senior year. Has a really good senior year. 17.6 points a game, you know, like 3 assists, 5 rebounds. Yeah, good stats. And they make the tournament for the first time since Chris Mullen was there. I think they were 22-10. They were 13-5 in the Big East. Had a really nice year. Mm. And they lost to Detroit Mercy in the first round of the tournament.
Oh, womp.
Yeah, and it, which was too bad. But at this point, it's like, well, you know what? He might get drafted. He played really well this year. He's a great kid. He's still a bust. But anyway, San Antonio takes him the 24th pick in the first
round.
That's
pretty good.
So he played, I think it was 4 years in the NBA, and then he tore up his knee. And then he played in Spain.
But he never played for San Antonio.
No, he didn't play for San Antonio.
Vancouver, Washington, and Minnesota.
Yeah. Huh. In Minnesota, he was tearing it up, averaging 18 points a game, I think they said. And then he tore his knee up, and I think they let him go. But his game was just coming together, so he played for all these teams in Europe and all over the world, and then he played his last year in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, he probably dominated.
He did. He played very well. He made the winning shot in the championship. And
that's interesting. The guy who plays 4 seasons in the NBA.
And he's a big disappointment.
Yeah.
I know. I just, that part of the story really pissed me off.
Number one first round draft pick, and he's a bust.
Yeah. I know.
It's crazy.
It was really kind of shitty.
And thank you for saving me all the time. I don't have to watch it now.
I tell you what, though, it was really good. And the Dominican Republic story was cool that they had a lot of clips from his high school games, and these crowds were nuts. And he said, the Dominican Republic fans, he said, wait, they don't just quietly watch a game. They got to have drums and chants, and it was like that. It was like just the whole game was crazy.
The ones in New York, the Dominican fans.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
That's weird. How did he get into basketball in the Dominican Republic? You think it would be baseball or soccer or something?
I know. And all he had was this hoop his father had fashioned out of something from work. And it was portable, so he could carry it around, and they could start games wherever he went. It was really funny. It was a funny story.
Did I do good, Daddy?
Well, that's cool. Good for him.
Yeah. It was a great story. And he's back in the Dominican Republic trying to help people. I mean, he's just a great, great guy. It was a good story.
Good for you.
But, God, the media is disgusting sometimes.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, it was pretty shitty. That part was really, really shitty. You know, there was another great show on last night, too, that 1969.
Yeah.
What a year 1969 was.
Were you calling for the show?
I was calling
like months ago you were calling for 1969 show.
I was calling for the 68 show.
Oh, okay.
Because of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King and the White Album.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things in 68. 69, though, was Manson.
Yeah.
And the moon landing. And, you know, there were a lot of things. Abbey Road. And anyway, the story was really about this girl who joined the Manson family named Diane Lake. And God, it was
a
strange story.
She had a wild time getting to the Manson family.
She did. She had hippie parents and
went to San Francisco.
They pretty much joined the counterculture, and they just kind of said, you're on your own.
At 13?
Yeah, 13. And so
She had one throwaway story where she's like, I met up with this guy, he's married, and I had sex with him, and then of course I had sex with the
wife.
What?
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Then she went to the hog farm, Wavy Gravy's hog farm.
Right. Yeah.
And she was banging everybody there. And Wavy Gravy said, you know what? You're jailbait, honey. You got to get out of here. It's like, what, Wavy Gravy? Why couldn't you just tell these people to stop nailing a 13-year-old?
Yeah.
And it was kind of bullshit. So
you get out.
Manson, meanwhile, I really didn't think about this. Manson had just gotten out of prison after 7 years. So he goes in 1962. The world changed. As I pointed out, when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan in 1964, the world went into color. The counterculture began. The counterculture.
We landed on the moon!
I mean, youth,
baby, won't you light my fire?
Youth culture really starts around 67. Youth culture. I mean, like, you're not a piece of shit kid anymore. You can protest the war. Your music matters. Advertisers see you as someone important. And rock and roll had a huge, huge part of that. And the Beatles had the biggest part in it. But anyway, Woodstock and Monterey and all those things start happening. And Manson gets out in, I believe it was 67 or 68. And he went in when the world was black and white, and he came out in the middle of the counterculture, and he's like 29 years old, and he's like, whoa, what? How's this work? But in prison, he had hung around with a lot of people who sort of sold him on the idea of pimping women, mm-hmm. that, you know, you got to just really act like you love them, and then you got to slap them around once in a while to keep them in, you know, sort of, that's, so that was his cult secret. Yeah. So that's, you know, everything had transformed, everyone was on drugs, and so Diane Lake, who was, I think, 14 at this time, said that he was not really a hippie. He was just conning. He was just using that world to pull all these women in, and eventually end up on Spahn Ranch. And she's part of that group. She had nothing to do with the murders, but they all told her about it. So she became this extremely important witness.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what turned the tide with her and Charlie?
Yeah, he boo-fooed her.
Yeah.
He turned around and said, surprise. This is how they do it in prison!
Yeah.
And put it in her butt.
Like the most sexually experienced woman in Charlie.
And she
ruins her and freaks her out.
She didn't think it was that, she didn't like it that much.
Squeaky Fromm was on there, although...
Yeah, the Frommster was on there.
Although, she pronounced her name Frommy.
Like, of course.
That's not how you pronounce your name, Fromm.
Squeaky Fromm.
Shut up, Frommy.
Squeaky Fromm...
You're Fromm and you like it!
Fromm was in the Manson family, but she was not part of the murders either. But she shot at Gerald Ford in 1975. I think it was like 17 days before Sarah Jane Moore shot at Gerald Ford. Two women with guns near the president took shots at him, missed.
I should say
missed, like I'm disappointed. But anyway, I remember thinking that neither one of them would ever get out of prison. And Hinckley, too. Hinckley hit a president and got out of prison. All three of those people got out of prison.
Hinckley killed someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he killed James Brady. He also hit a police officer. How can... Well, I don't understand.
He didn't kill James Brady, though.
Yeah,
didn't
he did. Yeah,
eventually
he died.
Wounded. He died prematurely.
From those
wounds. He ruined his brain.
Yeah, sure.
He completely fucked him up. And then he did die... I mean, he was in his early 60s, I think. I mean, they
as a result of his
didn't die immediately, but you know, if so,
he should
in other
be
words,
charged with murder.
James Brady, who lives with this horrible physical condition for, you know, 20 years or whatever, because he didn't die immediately, John Hinckley gets out.
Yeah.
Whereas if he died immediately, John, I don't understand that attempted murder and murder. If you shoot a gun at someone, I feel like if the person dies or they don't die, it's almost the same thing. But it's not treated that way at all.
Well, at least it's
just
be
because you're a shitty shot, you don't go to prison for long.
Well, you nailed the president.
Shooting a gun at someone. Yeah, I know.
Almost
president. I know. It's just
should never see the light of day again.
I know. I just never understand. And then you see somebody who did something, and they're in there like a white boy Rick is in there. He's still in there. Mm-hmm. White boy Rick.
Yeah.
For he was a police informant at 17. Possession of cocaine, and he's in prison for 33 years, 32 years now?
Yeah.
And John Hinckley's out before. It's all so stupid. It's hard to even talk about. It's so dumb.
Right.
But anyway, 1969 was a good show. I'm trying to remember the show. I watched another 1969 show. I've got it recording now every week.
Yeah, this was their third episode.
What were the other two on?
69.
Was there one on the moon landing, maybe?
That was the first one, I believe.
Okay. And I can't remember the other one.
Was the other one on was it on the music or a movie? I can't remember.
I don't remember. But it's if you like history and you like that whole counterculture scene, they're doing a really good job of sort of weaving that all together
in
one show.
another thing we were pointing to from a listener is a show on Netflix that is called, do you remember what it's called, Brandon? Fairground Attractions. It's apparently a British show, but, you know, Netflix will pick up shows from other countries.
Yeah.
And in episode 4 of season 1, there's a scene that I think would be very intriguing for listeners here.
Great act, and I'd never done it in my life.
It's a freak show at a circus right now that they're covering.
The Circus of Horrors boasts some of the more bizarre and skillful acts in the country. From accomplished sword swallowers to more novelty attractions.
The difficulty with the freak show is keeping it fresh and
I'm so excited. I know what's going to happen.
Giving people their favorites and giving
you got
to
keep
act.
Your freak show fresh.
We bought Mr. Methane this year, which just the childish thing I've ever seen. I loved it. Oh.
There he's farting to the Blue Danube. Everyone loves it.
Oh, thank you. Putting the art into fart.
Mr. Methane, you can imagine what would happen. No site could go up.
Yeah.
Strictly no smoking sign because of methane.
Generally, it's cabbage.
So he asked him, does he have a special diet? And the guy says, generally, it's cabbage.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a gig with Bad Manners once, and he was in their dressing room. And they said to him, does it smell? And he said, no, it never smells. And they said, can you do one for us now? And he said, do you want me to? And they said, yeah. So then he let off this great big fart, really. And it stunk to high heaven. They had to evacuate. Even bust the blood vessel had to run out of the dressing room. It was so bad.
Joby's.
They had to evacuate.
Show.
So Methane says, oh, no, they don't smell. Riff's a huge one. And everyone had to leave, just like when he visited the Riff Studios.
No warning. And we thought, it was all joy to us. We'd only heard the CDs. We'd had him farting over the phone, and then all of a sudden he's farting in the studio. It's like, what could be more heavenly? He's farting a whole song in our studio, and all of a sudden it smells like the worst sewer ever. Trudy's eating popcorn. I'm manning the board, and Mike Walters and Mike Clark were in the next room with their heads over the garbage can, thinking they were going to puke.
Yeah.
Mike Clark he described in intimate detail how much his mouth salivated. He was so sure he was going to puke. And down the hall, Heidi. A meeting was being dispensed because it stunk down the hall. It smelled that bad.
Now I'm going to throw up.
And he's acting like, hey, what's going on?
And then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I ate some chili fries at the airport. I shouldn't have done that.
He came directly from the airport. We were getting breakfast, and he asked us to get him chili fries from National Coney Island, us not thinking anything of it until it was too late. Which, yeah, of course, it would stink.
Yeah, if he doesn't want it to stink, he has to.
What an amazing digestive system that you could order chili fries and he, in the next break, can produce.
Oh, my God, that was
gas.
Amazing. Wow. I want you to remember, if you are looking for a home or you're looking to list your home, please keep in mind Realtor Scott Kunith. If you don't have someone that you use, and some people do, but maybe you don't, or maybe you've got a nephew, a daughter, somebody you can refer to Scott. Scott is great. He's a very likable guy. And, you know, finding a house is, you do spend a lot of time with a person, so you might as well spend it with somebody who talks and drops just like you do. Realtor Scott Kunith, the rising star of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual, to see what your home is worth or help in finding a new one. If you're not going to list it in the next 3 weeks, he still will help you dissect what your situation is, even if you're not ready to pull the trigger right away, although that'd be nice. Again, to see what your home is worth or help in finding your new one, call Scott at 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746, or S. Kunith at CBWM, the rising star. And now, Brandon, are you going to say something?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to jump to cameos or if you wanted to play some Mike Clark audio.
Yeah, I wanted to play the Mike Clark thing on Rosalind Carter, as Mark pointed out. Mike, one day, I don't even know why he did this, but he just went off on Rosalind Carter was hot. And it was a weird tangent, and he ended up very disappointed.
I can't believe he lost.
Yeah, he was extremely disappointed.
I tell you, man, I would love to have seen Rosalind nude in Playboy in her day.
Yeah, you did, Rosalind.
Rosalind Carter, I thought, was really pretty in her day. I thought she had a really pretty face. She was a classic Southern belle.
Did she have any,
I don't know about her, but you know what? I couldn't tell you much about, you know, she's a short gal.
She got a beautiful rack. She got some nice.
She has nice legs.
I'm the president of hitting that ass right now for a long time.
I loved her from the waist down. But I always thought she had a pretty face, though.
Yeah, she's as far
really
as
pretty face. Mark, you find me Rosalind, will you, dear?
You call Mark dear?
Yeah, I did. I'm thinking they'd make him get it quicker if I do that. Usually, if I call Mark dear, he'll double.
He's working his ass off over here.
No, he will. He'll work harder for me if I call him dear. I've noticed that, and I appreciate that. Come on!
The picture of Rosalind Marcotte is so not hot.
I think the deer thing backfired.
She's got this helmet head. She just went and got her hair done, and she's got this giant helmet head.
Let's find a better picture.
You son of a bitch.
Her bangs are going like 4 inches up in the air, and then they come down the front.
That's taken yesterday. That's at least a month ago.
No, she has with John Gacy.
You know what?
She did take a picture with Gacy. That is true. That's a real picture.
She's ugly.
Gacy's more attractive.
Gacy's hotter than Rosalind.
Yeah, I hit Gacy first.
Oh my God!
What happened to my Rosalind? Is this all just?
That's her.
Her face. She's got kind of a pancake face, doesn't she?
Looks like crap.
Yes, she does.
Oh, why did I think she was hot?
Bad memories.
Why do you like going down on me?
She's all yours.
Oh, what?
Hey, have it out with her.
She looks like crap.
Nobody's going to fight you for her.
Yeah, we're gonna pass on that. Here's a really good one for you.
No,
is that an early picture of Roz?
Yeah, that's a really early
one.
Wait, the picture in the glasses. Those glasses are pretty hot.
Why did I think she was cute?
If there's an attractive picture of her, it hasn't been found yet.
Oh, God, she's horrible. She looks like...
And she birthed Amy, the ugliest kid in presidential history.
Oh, I'm so bummed out.
Yeah, she's getting more attractive as an ancient woman.
No, she's not. She's getting worse by the minute.
She's 84 going on 81.
What was I thinking? This is one of my worst disconnects ever. Almost
I'm
forever.
The president of hitting that ass.
She's horrible.
And then he started coming on to me.
It's not a love affair. It's that you're both getting your rights on.
Yeah, if you've been thinking like Gacy, maybe you'd have made a better selection there.
What the hell? Every picture, she's not pleasant. There's not one good picture of her. Not one.
There isn't.
Does grass make you horny?
I stand by. If she's taken a hot picture, it has not been found.
And the thing is, how many times they photograph a first lady? You know, there's a million pictures of her.
I gotta say, she looks more attractive next to those starving black kids in Ethiopia. That's the most attractive picture I've seen of her.
Does she have a big head too? Is her head like an Oprah head?
It's kind of floating off her body.
It is. Great.
Here you go. Seriously.
Seriously.
Oh yeah. She looks great.
Man,
no, she does. She looks really.
Come on.
She's a really spry 85.
Promise she's 40 there. I see a little bit.
Spry.
She's balding a little bit.
The male pattern baldness is hurting her case.
I can't find anything pretty about her. Not her mouth, not her nose, not her eyes, nothing.
We are trying to back up Mike Clark's claim that Rosalind Carter is hot.
Oh, look at that picture. She's horrible.
She has a big mouth. The mouth is pretty substantial. She's making a real goofy face with it, but it's big.
Yeah, but I'm going to be limp as a dish rag, so that will count for nothing.
The problem with her, if you were looking at the top of her head, I mean, you'd be psyched that she was doing that, but at the same time, you'd see her bald spot.
Does she have a bald spot, really?
She really looks like
she's
losing her hair now.
Is she?
I think so.
Oh, Jesus.
The one ancient picture of her looked like.
Oh, God. No wonder she belongs in a Murphy bed with him. Oh, God.
Look at that ass.
She's kind of a hunchback.
Maybe she looks good on video.
Okay. Maybe just find some video of her. She's hot when she's moving.
Maybe when she's
sits
moving,
still,
she's
really not very attractive.
Maybe she's as good as she's moving, and it's a windy day, and it's at night.
Mike, let it go.
Yeah,
let it go.
Yeah. Well, this is really tough for me.
He went from wanting to see her nude to she's horrible in the matter of 2 minutes.
I can't imagine why he thought she was hot. I don't remember anyone ever saying that. She was an attractive woman. Yeah. She was a very classy first lady.
Very, very thin.
I think Maz would have thought she was one of our finer first ladies.
She loves them all.
I can't get over that conversation. Man, judges first ladies. What guy actually runs around saying how great our first ladies are?
Tom.
No, and can catch it all. Who are his faves now? Who are his
Jackie
his
Kennedy,
picks?
I think. Was
Jackie's
his
number
Jackie
one,
Kennedy.
But he also brought up like Eleanor Roosevelt.
What? Oh, my God.
Eleanor Roosevelt. To
as
just
attractive?
As a trap. No, just to trap him. No, Maz likes them. He thinks they're important.
Oh, they're qualities.
Yeah, they're.
I see.
He likes them when they.
Their tenure is very effective.
He prefers when they stand by the president.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When they're not so forceful. Because he didn't really care for Hillary or Melania.
Or Nancy.
Well, he doesn't think Melania loves Donald
Trump.
That's
right, yeah.
So
yeah.
He doesn't think she's a very good first lady.
Oh, wow.
They have to fully support the president.
He did reference Pat Nixon, he thought was fabulous because she stood by Richard Nixon.
Even though he allegedly beat her up in the White House.
Yes.
What about Betty?
He loved Betty Ford.
He couldn't. He said she speaks for herself because she's Betty Ford Center and all that.
For sure.
A couple things. We've talked about the 50 Cent feud with this Randall Emmett, this blob.
I thought it was over until today.
I know. I feel so much better about the whole thing. I mean, it was just weird. It's like 50 Cent is threatening this guy on Instagram because he owes him $1 million. It appears that he clearly does owe him $1 million and has for 5 or 6 years. And he's giving the reason 50 Cent went off is because Lala Kent, who's a 29-year-old, a gorgeous girl, engaged to this dope, Randall Emmett, who's a slob of 47. 50 Cent then somehow helps him get this job producing Vanderpump Rules, which this girl, Lala Kent, is on. Why do these two fit, Trudy?
No.
No,
oh,
not
God,
even close.
No.
Okay.
No, that guy's all, his neck and his head are about the same size, so it's all just one thick flesh thing.
And he's a slob.
Yeah,
he's fat.
Yes.
And he's a jerk. He borrows money from 50 Cent. Who doesn't pay back 50 Cent, by the way?
I know.
It's just ridiculous. So anyway, she's on Vanderpump Rules saying that, oh, yeah, when I met Randall, the first time we went out, we did it, and the next day he gave me a Range Rover. Well. And so 50 Cent sees this. He's like, that fucker gave her a Range Rover. My money! Does she know he owes me $1 million? So he starts threatening him. Anyway, he pays him back in 3 days, which to me says, oh, so he could have paid him back, but he just didn't want to, apparently.
No.
He's too busy wooing this 29-year-old he has no business being with. Gave her expensive gift after expensive gift, which she went on and on about. So now, today we learn... Lala Kent said earlier this month she was excited to marry and start a family with fiancé Randall Emmett. Two weeks later, the Vanderpump Rules star may have changed her mind. Kent appears to have deleted almost all photos of Emmett from her Instagram feed, including an upload from their September 2018 engagement, leaving behind only a pic of the couple from their December 2018 engagement party. Wait, why is that pic on there? Did she miss that one?
I don't see it on here anymore.
Okay. The Instagram purge comes one day after 50 Cent ended his feud with the couple. The online fight started after the rapper suggested Kent was a hoe for saying she got a car from Emmett the day after they first had sex. Hmm. By the way, would you accept a car from someone the day after you went out with them the first time?
I don't believe I would. No.
I would.
Would you?
Why not?
I think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
What?
I think because
they're
going to expect
are we talking
something.
About?
A Range Rover? So, the funny thing was because he really ripped on her, you know, why don't you go blow another guy to get a car, not with my money. And she then said that she'd been Me Too'd, which didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
Nobody
totally
seems to be doing anything about that.
Yeah.
Well, good. Because she was the one who went on blowing about.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing this guy and receiving a Range Rover.
Exactly.
So.
Not really the
classic.
Appropriate Me Too.
No.
I don't think that works out too well.
No,
and it didn't.
It does not.
So anyway, she has now dumped this guy.
Whop.
So the only person who I feel has not gotten their justice is Lala Kent, who's got a Range Rover for no reason and a bunch of other expensive gifts. But
she's going to be dating 50 Cent soon, right?
Well, that's where the $1 million went.
Going wherever that $1 million is.
Follow the money.
If he invested in something, she's going to be dating that person.
What a
story.
She's
beautiful too.
She's, I know, she is extreme.
I mean, she's a total idiot. And,
yeah, you know. I couldn't spend 5 minutes with her. I'm breaking up with her, by the way.
What is?
We've already broken up.
Can somebody explain what is Vanderpump Rules? I see these stories. I have no idea who these people are.
It's just a bunch of hot young people who. It's a reality show about a bunch of hot 20 somethings.
Is it good?
And.
On in.
Well, I mean, okay.
Really? Yeah, it does what it's supposed to do, okay. I guess, because they all do the things that 20-somethings do, but they have lots of money and they're very good looking. And
so it's like Real Housewives, but they're younger?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would agree with that statement. That's well said. Mm. And UNC...
Well, she's nude. Look at her, Trudy.
Ooh. Oh, she's nude?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but...
Pointy boobs, doesn't
I'll look
it?
At
well,
her.
She's got a star over them because you can't put the nipple on Instagram.
Wow.
Would you?
You're asking Drew that, right?
Even though Randall has been right there, Drew.
I don't have a Range Rover to give her, so I'll send
All right, carry on.
UNCC, they had a shooting on the last day of class, and this is a dropout, a guy that flunked out of UNCC, Tristan Terrell, and he's walking
to the
police station, and some reporter yells, "Hey, what happened?" And he says, "I shot a couple people." You know, like,
yeah.
Eh, whatever, I'm so cool.
It's not... what he said, it was how he said it, too, where he turns, looks over his shoulder,
smiles.
And says it with a smile on his face.
I know, it was...
F you.
I'm so tired of these people. Anyway, I'm looking at his mugshot
Wouldn't
today.
You hope the cop that was escorting him in would have just tripped him at that point?
Yeah.
I wish someone had popped him off, and who would arrest the guy
right.
after he did that?
The cop should have accidentally dropped his gun out of his holster and shot his head
yeah,
off.
Fumbled it like...
How cool would that be? That would be so much fun. Everyone would get a laugh out of it. Even the family of the victims would be delighted.
Yes,
everybody watching
would.
That live on GMA would have been like in such a good mood today, too.
God, the camera people would be laughing out loud.
Yeah, that'd be great video.
So anyway, I'm looking at his mugshot, and I'm going, wait, who does he look like? And I thought, wait, looks like Kevin Cronin. And then, Brandon, who else did we
the
decide
hair.
To look like?
Well, that was the one that you and I were kind of looking at. I didn't believe you because the Kevin Cronin I know is a blonde. But then,
oh no,
Kevin
Cronin has gone blonde, obviously, to get away from looking like this guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, he does. Oh my God, he does look a lot like Kevin Cronin, especially this picture.
Is it possible he looks like Weird Al Yankovic too?
Ooh, I don't know. I came up with Gene Simmons without the makeup on. He kind of looks like Gene Simmons without the makeup on because the nose is a little more bulbous than Kevin Cronin is.
Show Trudy Kevin. Yes. Kevin.
She's looking
I
at
see,
him.
I see.
But I think Trudy has the best one out of them all.
Who?
Andre the Giant, only not for gigantism.
He'd be Andre the Normal.
Oh, my God. Let me see Andre the Giant.
Doesn't he look like? I think he looks
I
like
think
Andre
he does.
The Giant.
The Giant right next to him.
Totally. That's such a cool call.
Andre the
Normal?
It's
even close. I'm really impressed that you even dug in to your memory banks to pull out Andre the Giant.
If you put him in a singlet.
That's pretty good.
So Andre the Giant used to have longer hair, but.
He's got the chin that goes forever, too, but wow, that's.
If you put him in a singlet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, if we put this guy in a singlet, you're right.
Next to Andre the Giant.
They both have
right there. How about that one?
They both have a very vacant face.
Yes, very vacant.
Oh, my God. Can I see Weird Al Yankovic?
Isn't Weird Al, isn't he going to have a little more pointy?
I don't know. The hair's off. The hair is critical. The Cronin hair is really good.
Yeah, the Cronin hair is right there.
Yeah, Weird Al's he's making wacky faces all the time, too. That makes it hard.
We remember the uproar when Weird Al got rid of his glasses. He's like, "What
uproar?"
How dare he?
Okay, Cronin's definitely works out better, and Andre the Giant—that's an incredible call.
Yeah, he's got wide-spaced
Andre the Giant.
Eyes. You know, yeah, it's that wide-spaced eye sort of.
Oh, Channel 4 is remembering Russ Gibb. The Beatles were just on
guys?
There.
I know that dude.
Who are those guys?
That's Dick Burton.
Dick Burton, Dick Kernan.
That's all right.
Oh, really?
Beatles bump.
Is Graf there?
Oh. Graf had so much to do today, I'd be surprised if he
I know,
was.
We were supposed to have Gary on, but he's too busy.
He has many things.
I say that with quotes.
Oh, that's a long story.
Yeah, he was well involved told. With the MC5. I forgot about that. Yeah, we should back it up. I think it's worth. Dick Burton makes you.
It's a material for your mummy.
Old friends getting together for lunch on this Wednesday.
Hey. Hi, hi, hi.
Many of them legends of Detroit radio.
Yeah, Russ was most famous for, at least I think, for the Paul is Dead rumor.
Yeah, yeah.
The Beatles.
Today they're remembering their friend, Russ Gibb.
He was legendary in Detroit.
Known mostly for two things.
Russ Gibb, the Grandy Ballroom, and Russ Gibb.
Who's that dude?
Paul is Dead.
More on Paul in a moment. But the Grandy Ballroom on Grand River was the venue for Detroit's music scene in the late 60s.
You could see anybody there and everybody. And there are posters that show Led Zeppelin and Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Can we have a graphic, please?
I mean, you name it, Fleetwood Mac, in one night. And you could see them for $5.
With the legendary MC5 as the house band, the Grandy also helped other local up-and-comers make a name. Like Ted Nugent and Iggy Pop and the Stooges. It was the East Coast venue for psychedelic rock.
I mean, I didn't get to go to places like that then, but you know, y'all hear about it. And of course, that's what makes it really intriguing.
While the Grandy became a Detroit landmark,
could they tell us who anyone is?
It became a worldwide phenomenon when Gibb was a DJ on WKNR.
So one day we're listening and somebody calls in and says something about Paul McCartney is dead. And Russ just lunges into this, like, how can that possibly be, and starts investigating. And then everyone started scrutinizing all the record albums
the hell
and
the
road,
anyway?
etc. And this whole thing took off nationally, but it started right here in Detroit on Keener FM.
In Farmington
Hills. I don't know if I should believe you.
Jason Colthorpe,
Local 4. Wait a second.
Yeah, thanks for showing us the legends of Detroit radio. And we only know who one of them is at a table of 16 people.
I knew two.
Where was that?
And I'm not there.
And you still.
I lost the whole point of that story because I don't know who that was talking.
I know. It was bugging the shit out of me.
You still don't have your American broadcaster.
Oh,
oh God. I'm never going to have that. What's the key to that? Having a Wikipedia?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you have to have a Wikipedia.
By the way,
just link to Google.
Eli was telling me to look up Greg Henson's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and I'm listening to it. And he works with Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who
used to do a show together.
Yeah, the show on 97.1. And somehow I end up deep diving, and there's Michelle with big old Wikipedia. And then I'm talking to Tony Trovato from Wheels. And Tony mentions he's going to Grand Rapids, and they're working on this station, and they used to have this morning guy. He was really good, and he died. So look up him. Huge Wikipedia. I mean, just humongous.
Yeah.
And he's probably an American broadcaster, too, but, you know, whatever.
Well, you got to write your own.
Yeah, you have to write your own, because who else is going to know every place that you landed prior?
Okay, so then, in other words, so American radio personality, that designation and that big graphic, that is something they do for themselves. Shouldn't they tell you that, by the way, this is nothing special, the person put this up themselves.
Right.
Because every time I see it, I go, wow, he got that special thing, American radio personality. But the fact is that if I had just been egocentric enough to write up my own...
Self-involved, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Then I would have one too. Yeah. So now I can't write one up because I don't know, I did it.
Just hire it out.
That sucks.
Oh, no. Tell me, these
people, Howard Stern does it himself? I don't believe that.
No, because what people do is they'll take the information from his books, or they'll take information that they've gathered.
Paul W. Smith has one. Did he do it himself? I think they should note that on the American radio personality thing. Self-created, or created by, I don't know, someone else. Created by.
You're a network executive as well, so you could designate that to somebody in one of your...
That's true.
Network departments.
I wonder if
Walter do it.
Not it.
Network executive. What's that? What? Paul W. Smith. I bet you he's got it. WJR. That's going to make me mad.
I'm tweeting to Jason Colthorpe.
Yeah, he's got it. Oh, no, he's got American Columnist.
Oh! He has a coin. I've told you that, right?
He's a coin?
He gave me a coin, a commemorative coin with this.
Mm. What?
Yeah, he did.
Well, how did he get a coin?
I had a coin made. And he just so happened to have one on him when we were both at the same Red Wings broadcast.
I think the issue we've had in the past, too, is people have facetiously created wiki And it's full of a bunch of, I don't know.
Why can't I get a check mark on Twitter? What is with the check mark on Twitter? Why can't I get that? What do I have to, who do I have to blow for that?
Russell, or what's his name, Randall? you're gonna get a Range Rover too.
Mojo doesn't have an American radio personality.
Oh, see,
can't write
it's
it.
Not self-involved.
I'm delighted when someone doesn't. Jim Jones, Bob Rivers, I bet he is one. He has everything.
Hey, he's a guest. Paul W. Smith is a guest on the Rush Limbaugh show sometime.
Radio, American radio personality, of course. Oh. From the Seattle market. Ooh. Detroit's bigger than Seattle market.
Well, Seattle's got more kind of music cachet, though. Does it? Or does it? Not really.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Jimi Hendrix.
Bob had an amazing career. Yeah. I wouldn't take it away from him. I'm saying I don't deserve it.
I'm tweeting to Colthorpe.
Who?
Jason Colthorpe, who did that story.
Oh, Jason Colthorpe?
Saw the story at 6
Who
tonight.
Are these people?
Besides Dick Burton, who are the others interviewed? Was Drew and Mike podcast invitation lost in the email? Let's see what he says.
And where was, and I want to know where
I mean, he
were.
Is working right now.
Maybe I can go there after the show.
Yeah, where is that?
Why wouldn't they just have a graphic?
It's at Buddy's.
He mentioned Dick Burton.
Oh, it's, oh, yeah, okay.
Ooh, Dick Burton looks pissed in this picture, too.
Really?
Wait, yeah. So, in other words,
he's
Russ
looking at the guy who we don't know who he is going, who the fuck are you? I'm not paying your tab.
Russ Gibb dies, and all those people go, hey, let's go out for lunch. Or were they having lunch, and Channel 4 said, oh, these radio guys are having lunch. That'll be a good way to get comment on Russ Gibb. I don't know what happened. I'm not happy with the story.
I know. I'm totally lost.
Because it seemed as if those people got together because Russ Gibb died, and I don't know if I believe that.
Should we just call Colthorpe?
Yeah. Definitely. This calls for that.
He is working for another 8 minutes.
Well, he's not on the air constantly.
He's not anchoring.
Is he?
His story's over.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. And besides, he produced that earlier. So he's got all kinds of free time.
Yeah, but doesn't he anchor the earlier news?
Yeah, I think he does at 5:30, maybe.
Okay.
Does he really anchor? I don't think he's doing the 6 o'clock. That's Devin.
Yeah, you're right. What am I talking about?
You failed to point out that the Paul W. Smith was the reason for Mike W. Clark.
That's true.
You did that.
Mike, it's so funny. Mike was always so worked up about that one day that one guy said, if you've been living under a mushroom. Who said that? On Jer?
Oh, boy, I can't remember. Oh, God, I can't remember.
If you've been living under a mushroom.
So, it's not with Sonny Elliott, was it? No.
It was in that area.
You sure it wasn't Paul W.? It might have been Paul
W. Sonny Elliott adjacent.
Yes.
God, who
my favorite Sonny Elliott story is when
oh, God.
You took calls about what celebrities locally. Have you seen nude in the gym or whatever? Or
well,
shower?
I was, no, I don't think it started that way. I was talking about working out at Franklin Racquet Club, and this guy's blow drying his pubic hair, and I was like, "What?" And someone called him and said, "Yeah, I saw Sonny Elliott doing the same thing."
But you shut down the phones after that.
I did. Well, when we got to like the fourth person, I realized I'm going to pay for this somehow. We're also taking calls on tipping, and someone said, Eric Smith stiffed me. And Eric Smith was so pissed. Like 10 people told him about it. So he left a long voicemail about how he never, never would stiff anyone and that he's a big tipper.
Eric Smith.
Channel 7.
Oh, it's from Channel 7.
Yeah, the blues guy. Yeah, Eric's cool as hell. You know, I saw Eric, I forgot why they had him on. He was involved in some story just because it was about something related to him and they just figured it was a great resource. And I was thinking, why isn't Eric Smith still on TV? He's so sharp. Yeah. He's so likable. Yeah. He's just really good.
He has an earring.
Right.
Yeah, he's cool. He plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He rocks.
So much.
That's the way it goes.
Huh.
All right, so I want to remind people to like us on Facebook. Since they may be eliminating likes soon. Please like us while you can. And if you could rate us, too, because those ratings, the problem is, I keep seeing the same ones there at the top, and it gets, I don't know, I just get tired of reading the same ones. It'd be nice to have some new. That's just a really selfish reason to ask people to rate. It also helps our rating. And on iTunes also it helps.
Whoa, what's going on?
Well, the door's open, so they're getting really worked up anytime something happens outside the door. Good job, Mags. Good job.
I've never seen him move that fast.
Wow. Yeah, he's on. He's got spring in his step
now. You shake mags? Yeah, he's got the glucosamine going. It's new, improved mags.
Show that to Drew Trudy. Shake. Look out. And see if he can guess what that picture is.
Shook right away.
See, Drew, see if you can guess what that picture is.
Oh, that's Righteous Rick's new money.
Did you know? Did he send it to you too?
No. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Who else would send a picture of money but Righteous Rick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
He collected his money.
Wow.
And he wrote, of course, a message for everyone out there.
Of course.
As we lose another 20 listeners of the podcast.
Yo, my man! At hotel, here is the rest of the money. I take a picture of the 2019 brand new Camaro convertible, but it's not mine. Mm-hmm. LOL.
What?
Tell you guys to suck it, bitch! So I guess I'm telling you. And I said, who bought it? And he tells me the guy's first name. He won't tell me what they are for. He said he can't resolve publication, and I was okay with that.
So, in other words, whoever bought Aaron Carter's phone paid cash.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Think Rick's going to claim it?
That's another question.
Well, he should now. We have a lot of IRS agents listening, don't we?
Sorry, Rick.
Wouldn't you think that this, whatever this publication, since it's a legal transaction, wouldn't they just write a check and it would be an expense of doing business? Because if they turn those pictures into money, then they're going to have to declare because someone is, I mean, somewhere in the chain, someone, there's going to be a record of some transaction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why would
so
they,
you just
why
act
they bring
like
bundles
just,
of money?
Yeah, you just grew the pictures and sold them? I mean, that's...
It's also less than what he said he was going to get for it.
Oh, what did he say he was going to get?
Well, I mean, in that picture, I just counted 28 grand. Oh, 28 grand total, because he had the five before.
I thought he was only getting 20 altogether.
Oh, mate, really?
I thought that's what he said. He got five up front, and he was going to get 15, I thought.
Well,
he
well
said.
Done, Rick.
Huh.
Smart guy. That Rick.
Wow. He's surprised. I did not think they were worth that much. I really wanted him to give the phone back because the whole thing was making me sick. Once I saw that one picture freaked me out.
Are you going to be okay?
Freaked me out. I don't know. Do you think they bought that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, look at the
I
reaction.
Would think so. Although you can't prove it's him.
Do you think Rick's going to give us our 10% for facilitating it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What? I wouldn't accept it.
No, I think he's going to need all of it. I don't know why. I just think that.
He needs someone to pay the taxes.
To get a nicer toilet for his future social media pictures.
Hey, you know what headline I really hated today?
What?
He won't let his wife use car's mysterious red key in the Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, did you read that story?
He won't let his wife use car's mysterious red key. It's the this red key that Dodge has issued. Only a certain amount of them.
So there's two fobs. There's two fobs on the. Do you know what kind of car it is?
It's a Challenger.
Okay, there's two fobs, a black one and a red one. And if you use the red one to start the car, you get more horsepower.
It unleashes seven.
What?
More than 700 horsepower.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait a second.
He won't let his wife drive.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't blame him.
I don't even believe that.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Of course.
She can't handle that much muscle, Trudy.
Yeah, no doubt.
She's a fragile little woman.
Oh, how, yeah.
Okay,
how
we
dare.
Need to call her tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the number there, so don't lose that.
Yeah, I'd be livid if I were Val.
Maybe she doesn't want it. The one
on
the
phone. Oh, no. Power. Wait. His wife, Stacy, is a red key. Val Sanford only uses red key. His Victoria gets to use it too.
Yeah, the made a couple.
The local couple.
Yeah, the local one. Where, you know.
Yeah, but Stacy.
It's the auto cultural state.
She's used to muscle.
Stacy gets pimped. She only gets the black key.
Yeah.
She can't handle all that horsepower. Oh, my God.
I want to talk to this dude.
Why she's with you.
Lloyd with one L over street.
I know. Where's the other L, Lloyd?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation about the missing L earlier.
Lloyd!
Where's your other L, Lloyd?
Lloyd!
There's a picture of Val in here, but there's no picture of Lloyd, is there? Or is there?
I did not see a picture of one L Lloyd.
Oh, there's Lloyd.
Missing L Lloyd.
One L Lloyd.
2015 Hellcat Challenger in its natural habitat.
Ooh!
At Thunder Race Roadway in Gillam, Ohio.
Natural habitat.
Nice.
It's not its natural habitat. Oh, there he is. There's Lloyd.
Hey, spud off.
He's pictured at a car show. Oh, he's got his hood up. Oh, Lloyd. Yeah. Lloyd. Lloyd needs a good talking to.
He does.
He really, really does. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's... Brandon, remind me to... We got to call Lloyd tomorrow.
You got it.
That's important.
And Gary Graff.
And Jason Coulthard.
Graffmatic. All right, get us out of here, and do remember to like us and all that stuff, and also at Drew Mike Podcast for Twitter. My Twitter is rolling towards 11.5.
Wow.
I'm 150 away from Fist Fest.
Wait, how much does Fist Fest have?
They're like 11.6.
Really?
Yeah.
Measuring yourself by Fist Fest?
Everyone does, Trudy.
I don't mean to get competitive about social media. Please like me.
I'm 318 away from 10,000.
Whoa. I know, Trudy, I know your Twitter's been boogieing along. Why is your Twitter getting hot lately?
Are you tweeting
more?
I don't know. I'm not trying.
Because you just crossed 5,000 and you're already at like 5.5, aren't you?
Nice. Yeah.
It's a brand new
pacing
one.
Faster than me. I'm not happy.
The great thing about that is every time you lay down a challenge, the Drew and Mike network comes through.
I know. It is. Yeah. You're right. No, they're great.
They make it happen.
I think we have a very active audience. I only wish I had lost my 17,000. 101.1, what frequency was I on again?
That was sports radio.
105.1. That stupid station.
Sports radio, as Drew called it forever.
They stole your Twitter account, locked you out.
I know. They will not. They will not. We have tried multiple times.
We know people who work there. Like, it's crazy. We don't know how to do it.
Look at all the things I'm having to fight against. I have no American radio personality designation.
And it still exists,
No check mark on Twitter, and I can't get my account.
The old one still exists, and people still tweet at it.
Still there?
And no invitation to the weekly buddies luncheon.
Yeah, what kind of bullshit is that? I know about Russ Gibb. I could have given them better audio than that.
And no credit for Joe the Is-Man. Man, wow, that's no respect.
I know. Pimped all over the place. Thank God. We have people that fight back. We'll see you tomorrow with Gary Graff. Thank you, Michael Imperioli. It's May the 3rd this Friday. En andiamos.
In Motor City Comic Con.
And Pauly Shore, May 18th at the Magic Bag. And also at Comic Con early in the afternoon.
Bye. See you.
Gotta wrap it up, guys.
Motherfucker! I'm rich as fuck!
Hi, this is Mark Zuckerberg, and I am doing a series of podcasts on technology. My first guest today is Bill Gates. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
And
I'm here too, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, Melinda.
Hey, how you doing?
Now, Bill, you were recently in the news for dancing. What's it like to dance?
It's just one of these. I'm just cutting a rug. It was really fun. I didn't know anybody was gonna film it.
What the fuck was that shit about?
I'm sorry, honey. It was just fun.
Now here at Facebook, we are facing a $5 billion. Fine from the FTC. Now,
pennies.
I'm really upset about it because I really had my eye on possibly buying another house on an island with a gate and a moat and some dragons, and I'm not going to be able to do that now. Have you ever had that kind of problem, Bill or Melinda?
It's a pain in the ass sometimes when you go out and you just want to buy an island and like all the indigenous people there are complaining about things. It's like, hello, I own the fucking island, you know?
Now, have you ever had a whole country?
The next question's for me.
Melinda, have you ever had a whole continent mad at you and another continent mad at you because you just sold like some of their private data? Like, what's the big fucking deal, right?
What these people need to understand, we own it now. They don't get shit anymore. Fuck.
Yeah, nobody made you buy like Windows, and no one makes you sign up for Facebook. Now, my next topic is, who's your favorite porn star, Bill?
Actually, it's probably gonna be Lauren Phillips. She's like 6'8". She's like, I don't know, 280 pounds. She really reminds me of Melinda.
Oh, so I never watch porn. I just look at Facebook Messenger from all the people around the world, and they send lots of nudies, and I usually beat off to it. And that's about it. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, I'm a big fan of James Dean.
Oh,
big dick.
I've never heard of that guy, but I've read his Facebook messages. Join me next week when my guest will be Warren Buffett and his two wives. Thanks.